about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
And one, two, one, two.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham. A mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
10 people died in the Bronx last night due to a fire that killed 10 people in the Bronx last night during a fire.
Fire officials say all 10 people died due to the fire, which was too hot for their bodies.
What is kale? Is that fish?
And now...
I would pay $1 million to know what you're saying right now. $1 million. I don't know what you're saying. And you don't know what I... You don't know what this is. I don't know what that is.
Our feature presentation.
Well, it's a good thing we're not in the communication business. It's not required for somebody to know what somebody's saying.
Absolutely not.
Hey, party people, welcome into another Kevin and Bean show. This time it's a Tuesday one, and it's the 24th of June.
Mm-hmm.
Mugs?
Bean?
You part of that Mexico World Cup soccer riot in Huntington Park last night?
You know it. I was shaking cars and skateboarding with my Mexican flag. You know I was there.
setting off fireworks?
Yeah.
It's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like... I don't... Explain that to me again. Explain how you go out and you shake cars and
here's the thing. Here's the
mob an intersection and create havoc. How is that a celebration? Is that good for anyone?
It's good to have pride for your home country and
you know,
where your ancestors come from. But, you know, to shake cars and wreak havoc, not really setting a good example for the rest of the community. And the fact that the World Cup is not even over yet. It's like they won the whole thing.
Right. It's like you're celebrating. It's like you're going crazy in a celebration of a good inning or one touchdown.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah,
it's a little early. It's a little premature. I don't know. It's just weird. I've never understood that. I'm going out into the streets and destroy because I'm happy.
My excitement cannot be contained. I don't know what there. How can you not understand that? I am bursting. I cannot just sit here.
Lisa has her face painted right now, green, white, and red right now.
I must do something.
All right. Well, it was good time seeing that on the news last night, I'll tell you that. Hey, speaking of good times, before we talk about today's show, and we do have a very drunk show for you today. It's terrible that the monkey is not here to enjoy how much alcohol-based entertainment is on today's program.
So true.
But every once in a while, we'll see a story about somebody who breaks into somebody's house, and sometimes they make themselves comfortable. How often have we told you about somebody who breaks in and, you know, cooks himself up a meal? Or takes a long leisurely bath, or just, you know, binge watches TV. Because, you know, if you have the opportunity, especially if your circumstances outside of, you know, this house are grim, maybe it's a nice place for you. Maybe you want to enjoy being in somebody's house who has stuff, right?
But where's the anxiety? You know, when you're in somebody's house, you're not supposed to be there. You could be caught at any second. They're just the most chill people.
Yes, I'm often surprised by that too, because you would think if you're committing a crime, you would want to get in, get out as quickly as possible. But some people just don't. Here's a guy in the news from Minnesota. His name is Nicholas Wigg. He's got a long history of crime, including a second-degree burglary conviction from 2008. He has a domestic adult assault misdemeanor. He has pending drug charges right now. He broke into a guy's house named James Wood on Thursday morning, stole a whole bunch of stuff, but also while he was there, logged on to Mr. Wood's computer to check his Facebook page and left it open on the computer.
Yay!
Nice job, dumbass.
Is brilliant.
26 years old. He checks his Facebook page while he's in the house stealing stuff. He forgets to log off. So James Wood, whose home it is, gets on Nicholas Wigg's Facebook page and updates his status and says, hey, how do I find this guy? Does anyone know this guy? What's going on? Now, here's where the article gets wanky. It's so poorly written from Channel 10 in Phoenix. I'll just read what it says. So Wood updated Wigg's status. People kept commenting on that post. He also left his phone number asking anyone to call with information on where to find Wigg. Okay, so far so good. He texted me at 7 p.m., said Wood. I replied, you left a few things at my house last night. How can I get them back to you? So the homeowner is now texting with the burglar saying, hey, burglar, you left some things in my house. Let's meet and I'll give them back to you. Wig agreed to meet with Wood under the impression that he would give Wood's recycled cell phone back in exchange for clothes he had left at the home. When Wood spotted him heading toward the house, he called police, and police came and arrested the guy. What kind of exchange was going on? Like, we know the criminal is dumb for the Facebook stunt.
Right.
But now he's meeting up with the guy who he can see has posted to his Facebook page. How do you not know you're walking into a trap at that point?
That's bizarre.
It's a crazy story. And once again, I need more information. But the moral of the story is if you break into somebody's house and you log on to their computer for your Facebook account, go ahead and log out.
Right? And the other moral is, even if you do log out, people, if you get robbed, check the history on your computer. You never know.
You never know. That's
kind of interesting because people are very addicted to their Facebook.
Yeah, this guy had not checked it since he left the car or maybe his house, so right. He felt like he had to.
What's going on?
Anyway, what a dumbass. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Sit on daddy's knee, bitch.
Well, I don't...
Wow.
I'm not sure. I don't think that's happening.
I hope not.
I mentioned how drunk today's program was going to be, and I know Ralph is very excited about our guest, who's a comedian and television host named Jay Larson. He's on the program today. He is hosting a new show on the Esquire Network where they are looking for the best bar in America, spotlighting bars all over the country. And there are a lot of factors that go into making a great bar, and he is an authority and has done the research, I suspect,
yes,
to bring us that report. That's coming up on the program today. Also, Derek Waters and Jeremy Connor are going to be here. They are the geniuses behind Drunk History, just getting ready to begin with season number 2.
That's the best.
Excited about that. We'll tell you about a new, how do I describe Teddy Love? This is a new sex toy disguised as a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this lady describes it does not sound sexy. I must be honest with you. Yesterday, we talked about what's going on in the Duggar family, those crazy people in Arkansas who have dozens of kids.
Yeah.
One of their kids got married and kissed for the first time at the altar. And we had a lot of questions about how that courtship had proceeded. And we have a listener named Joanna who apparently is a Duggar expert. So she is going to be our Kevin and Bean Duggar correspondent to fill us in on what's going on with that family. And by the way, Lisa, I got, no kidding, almost a dozen emails yesterday from people who either have been involved in relationships like that, where you don't kiss until the altar, or people who know people who have been to weddings like that, had friends who have done that. We were talking yesterday how we thought it was probably the only one that had ever happened. Apparently, it's a thing that people do.
Well, the people that, I mean, culturally, I knew someone from Iman. So she was here, but that was where her family was from. And all of her dates had chaperones. They never had any physical contact. So that would probably be the same situation, but that's a very specific cultural thing.
Yeah, these seemed like Americans. I'd love to do some follow-up with some of them, because one said they knew there was nothing wrong with kissing. They knew they could kiss, but they feared where the kissing would lead them if they started down that path. So they just decided to not kiss. You know, it's like, don't take that first hit, basically, is what they did.
Right.
So anyway, we'll get caught up with the Duggars on the program today. Also, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat. That is coming up next, and we'll get you qualified for an awesome new festival in Las Vegas. It's called the Life is Beautiful Festival. I'll tell you about that and get you signed up. That's all straight ahead right here on the World Famous K-Rock. New one from Foster the People, that is called Coming of Age here on the World Famous K-Rock. I am very impressed with that band. Really enjoyed him at Weenie Roast. Hey, Ralph. How you going, man?
I'm going good. Can I have my mic on? Thank you so much.
Just a little low. Sorry.
Oh, for sweet Jesus. when does it happen? When does the firing actually happen? When does the comedy start and the action stop?
For having your mic low?
Yes.
That would suck.
Well,
Imagine that.
I work here every morning at this microphone doing the same job. You would think the microphone could be on.
Well, Kevin would have been gone years ago if that was our standard.
But Kevin's damaged. We know that. And he's grandfathered in. His name is on the show. There's not much you can do there.
Is that how we work around that?
Well, it is the Kevin and Bean Show. I think he gets a little more consideration than this guy.
You can't keep moving the line.
Who are you
going
to get to do all your red carpet interviews, though, Ralph?
I don't know. A monkey. Monkey with cerebral cortex damage.
Wow. To answer your question, Ralph, I am hoping that somebody takes care of it while we're on vacation. I'm hoping we just come back and it's all done. It's all clean. We don't have to deal with the, you know.
And someone takes care of it. You mean the same way like your rooster problem was taken care of on your island?
Someone just takes care of it. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm. It's like, you know, there's that neighbor that's a nuisance and you don't want to be the one that has to go up and talk to him, but you're so grateful if another neighbor does.
Right.
So that's what I'm hoping is that somebody just does the dirty work while we're gone. And then we come back and we've got ourselves a nice, like, 24-year-old Asian chick back there running the controls, and then we're in business.
All right. Now you just went creepy.
I mean, because she's qualified and talented and does a great job.
Of course, obviously. That's
what All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
It is Tuesday. That means it's a new release day. CDs, yes. DVDs, and TV shows on DVD.
Give me.
Here's
what
what's available.
Tell me.
Wait a second.
Now.
How about Noise versus Beauty by Bass Nectar?
That's not
too bad.
Bass Nectar. Bass Nectar.
That's not for me.
Oh, okay. The new Deadmau5 CD?
Yeah.
While? How about Once More Round the Sun by Mastodon?
Oh, yeah. Love Mastodon. I'm in for that. Absolutely.
Right. And this is weird, because I think if you really wanted this music, you would just go out and get the music from the original source. But the Jersey Boys CD, music from the motion picture and Broadway musical from Jersey Boys, is available today. And all that is, it really, is a greatest hits album of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Wouldn't you just go get a greatest hits album by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons?
I would think so.
No one buy that. I'm saying it right now. I'm taking a stand.
Okay.
DVDs, 300, Rise of an Empire. Eva Green stars in that film.
How was that? Was that any good?
I never got around to it.
All right.
I can see it on DVD. It's out today. Winter's Tale, starring Colin Farrell and Jessica Brown Findlay. That's that romantic comedy about time... not comedy, but romantic film about time travel and
That's
whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Rob the Mob. This is a movie starring Michael Pitt, Ray Romano, and Andy Garcia. Did you know this was a thing?
No.
Oh, I made a movie. Nobody even knows it real.
That has to be, that's straight to home video, that one, right?
Yeah, it's got
to
be awful.
Rob the Mob.
Rob the Mob.
All right.
TV shows on DVD. The Bridge Season 1 is available now. Masters of Sex. Comedy Bang Bang Season 2. Duck Dynasty Season 5. And Unforgettable Season 2 is now available for your entertainments. Battle Royal between Joan Rivers and Kristen Stewart. Apparently, Joan wrote a passage in her new book called Diary of a Mad Diva. She wrote a passage about Kristen Stewart. Called her a one-trick pony that made her way to the top by juggling a director's huevos, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
Word is, Kristen Stewart's people are threatening to sue for defamation. But Joan refuses to back down and won't remove a word of it from her new book. So they are battling it out.
Find that despicable.
Oh,
I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
But you... hey, you just spit on me!
Does that seem actionable to you?
No.
I don't think so either.
The bright side, Joan finally found someone who read her book. So that's a good news for her.
And she did, let's remember, Kristen Stewart did have an actual affair with one of her directors.
Yes, but that was years after her career started.
All right, Lisa loves Kristen Stewart. I guess you love her.
I don't know why Joan Rivers would go after Kristen Stewart, of all people.
Well, they're
bizarre.
I would like mutually assured destruction because they're both horrible. Speaking of horrible people, it's no secret, it's legendary that the one of the worst people to work with in Hollywood is Katherine Heigl.
Yeah,
right.
Everyone just hates her. She's just a nightmare.
Yeah, we've heard that for years.
Reportedly, she's got a new series called State of Affairs. And recently she had an assistant director fired when her name was spelled with a C rather than a K on her dressing room door. That's spectacular. I didn't know, Beerma. I didn't know you were working over there at State of Affairs.
How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeff Beck is 70 years old today. Legendary guitarist. Actor Peter Weller is 67. Kurt Smith, the singer, 53. Rich Eisen. How much do we love Rich Eisen?
Love him.
He's the best. 45 years old. Model Petra Nemkova turns 35. Mindy Kaling from the Mindy Project in The Office is 35 as well. Minka Kelly's 34. Why is there a Clippers forward on my birthday list? Why?
Dave must be back from Las Vegas.
Why is J.J. Redick's birthday on my celebrity birthday list?
Not my fault.
Yeah, it is. And singer Solange Knowles is 28 years old. Do not get in an elevator with her. Trust me on this one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz...
The creepiest sex toy you'll ever hear about coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday morning on K-Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lisa Mann, we got an update on a story we brought you last week about the Queen, at least someone tweeting on behalf of the Queen at the British Monarchy Twitter account, that the Queen was going to be visiting Belfast in Ireland and visiting the set of the Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
We all were a little bit suspicious that the Queen is actually a fan of Game of Thrones.
We don't believe it at all.
I mean, is it possible that an 88-year-old woman and her 93-year-old husband are watching Game of Thrones every Sunday?
With all the boobs and the nudity and the death and no, it's not possible.
It doesn't seem like it's possible. I bet you'd be hard-pressed to find very many 90-year-olds in general who are watching Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So the suspicion was that maybe this was just some younger person in the social media department of the Windsor family who was trying to hip up the Queen a little bit. Hey, the people are into the Game of Thrones. Let's make the Queen into the Game of Thrones. That was our suspicion. Well, now it's happened. Now they have been to Belfast, and I am looking at photographs of the Queen standing in front of the Iron Throne right now.
Okay.
There she is with Prince Philip. She met the some of the actors from the show, met the creators of the show. It's not clear here in this article whether she asked any questions or how much she knew about the Game of Thrones, but they did, in fact, actually go there. And whether she was forced into it for a photo op, I don't know. But we wanted to find out more about what's real and what's not in this British Monarchy Twitter account. So we asked Dave, hey, could you line us up somebody? And believe it or not, we have a spokesperson for the Queen. The personal secretary to the Queen is Lord Basil Nichols Smythe, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Lord. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. And I apologize. I called you Lord. Is that appropriate for your title?
Yes, that's quite appropriate. Thank you so much.
All right. So you might have heard before we went to you on the phone, sir, that we were suspicious that Her Majesty perhaps really doesn't watch this TV show. This was all just a photo op. Can you comment?
May I say, in all candor, how dare you, sir.
Okay.
In another place, another time, you and I would be meeting on the field of battle and engaging in a duel.
Well, I'm not interested in anything like that. Just trying to get some facts here, sir.
Well, I don't appreciate you casting disparaging remarks upon my veracity regarding the Queen's Twitter account.
She's 88 years old. She's not watching Game of Thrones.
She is most certainly watching Game of Thrones. It's a favorite television program ever since Breaking Bad went off the air.
See, again, I think this is just something you're saying to make the Queen sound like she's of the people.
That's not the case at all. She is a huge Breaking Bad fan. It brought back memories of her own days slinging meth in the East End.
All right, she's been queen for like 65 years. She never had a slinging meth in the East End phase.
Well, she did go through a period where she was quite the meth addict, and so in order to support her habits, she would go selling it as well. Now, of course, she's simply on the scissor-up.
Okay, again, I just think you're making stuff up to make her sound hip. None of this is happening,
it
sir.
It absolutely is happening, and if she was here herself, she would tell you, but unfortunately she's out now. She had to go to the CD store to pick up the new Deadmau5 album.
Okay.
No.
The Queen is not raving. She's just not. You're telling lies.
If she was here herself, she would tell you that she's a huge Deadmau5 fan. And of course, I can only speak on her behalf, but I know she loves to drop some E and really enjoys the EDM music.
Okay, we're talking about Queen Elizabeth II, the ruler of Great Britain,
indeed,
right?
Indeed, yes, and oh, the Royal Majesty is back. Hold on, I have to see what she wants.
Okay.
Yes, Your Majesty. Oh, yes, one moment. She's just reminding me to get her prepared. Her MMA trainer is coming. So
okay.
She has to get in shape for a fight. And Dana White has been calling regarding her participating in the UFC.
Okay, you don't have to lie. The Queen is a nice lady. People already like her. You don't have to make stuff up.
I'm not making this up at all. She's been a little backlogged with all the travel, and she's missing out on some training. And she wants to catch up, having spent her time, of course, at Bonnaroo.
She wasn't at Bonnaroo. Look,
she was leading the F. Kanye chant, you know.
The Queen does not know who Kanye West is. She was not in Tennessee for a concert.
She does know. She was and said F. Kanye quite vociferously at the top of her lungs. Yes, Your Majesty. No, I haven't forgotten, no. No, 12 o'clock. Yes, we just setting up her twerking session. She has to get her twerking in every day, or else she gets quite cranky.
All right. Well, listen.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. No, we'll play Call of Duty in a little bit. So eager to play those video games. Can't get enough of that in Grand Theft Auto.
All right. Lord Nicholsmith. Yes, okay. Yes.
All right, no, I'll tend to it in a second. I'm sorry, I must be going. It's time for her Brazilian wax and her vajazzling.
No!
Want a more colorful summer? Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains during the Great Summer Painting Party, June 22nd through July 7th. With colors like Beach House, Julep, and Fireworks, summer never looked better. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 30% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You've heard of spring cleaning, but your Southern California Honda dealers are doing a little spring helping. The helpful guys in blue have been busy helping animals find loving homes at our helpful Honda pet adoptions, filling up the tanks of Honda drivers with free gas, and they'll be helping local teachers during Teacher Appreciation Week. And that's not all. Right now, they can help you get a great deal on a safe, reliable Honda during the Spring Into a Honda sales event. To check it out, find a Honda dealer near you by clicking on the dealer locator link.
When I walk into Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm not just a customer.
I'm a fan.
And in this house...
This house.
This house.
Fans rule.
This is our stadium.
Our locker room.
Our dugout.
Our sports drinks are served on tap. And our pregame meal is...
Hand-spun wings.
In victory or in defeat, we never leave hungry.
Because in this house,
we
are the MVPs.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports. Visit BuffaloWildWings.com to find the location nearest you.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, hope you are well. And I am. Seems like all you do is promote Geico's web and app abilities. And while I really enjoyed your last commercial where you talked about how I could take a photo of my VIN number and add it to my account all via my Geico app, I've got to think it doesn't leave you much time for anything else. Do tell. Sincerely, Miranda Morgan. Well, Miranda, thank you for asking. And this Geico spokespig does have time to do other things. For instance, I do a lot of
VIN scanning to add a car. Just a tap away on the Geico app.
If you've got 15 seconds, Geico could help you be a better driver.
If you're being tailgated, slow down and let them go by. Don't hit the brakes suddenly. It's against the law and very dangerous. And tapping your brake lights is almost as bad. You're simply training the other driver not to take your brake lights seriously. If something actually happens and you do hit the brakes, the tailgater's reaction time may be longer because he's thinking you're just tapping your brakes again.
Manage your policy, get roadside assistance, and more. Just a tap away on Geico's free mobile app.
Brothers and sisters, Wingstop has heard our voices. No longer will we crave in vain, crying, give us sweet, give us heat. Our mango habanero wings have been returned. It is back. Now let the masses victoriously proclaim, Viva el Manganero!
Mango habanero is back at Wingstop.
Is a bad credit score keeping you from getting the things you want? If you're being denied credit or paying high interest rates, call the experts at CreditRepair.com. With over 15 years of success helping thousands resolve their credit issues, we work to improve your credit by helping remove negative items from your credit report, items such as late payments or even bankruptcy. Call 800-915-1453 for your free credit consultation. We'll help repair your credit so you can rebuild your future. 800-915-1453 for CreditRepair.com.
Dodgers fans, commemorate Clayton Kershaw's first career no-hitter with an authentic Clayton Kershaw autographed baseball. This collectible is signed on the sweet spot in blue and includes a certificate of authenticity. Go to shopcbslocal.com now to buy and get free shipping.
Hi, what's up? It's Katy Perry.
Hey, it's Gerard Butler.
This is Slim Shady. You're kicking it with Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock.
I got another confession to make. Were you born to resist?
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ on a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman, what is the best bar in America?
Wow. Wow.
That's the question on the table. We're going to talk about a new show on Esquire called Best Bars in America with the host Jay Larson next hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. And I'm glad you're here because you tipped me off to something yesterday that I know you found endlessly amusing.
Yeah.
We have some audio.
Touching.
Have some audio from this, but what is Teddy Love as you understand it?
Teddy Love, it is, you know, Bean, you would appreciate this as a man who sleeps with a sock monkey, man who sleeps with a stuffed animal, a grown-ass man who sleeps with a toy.
Couldn't sleep without my sock monkey.
No, of course not. And there's a lot of people who need some companionship in the bedroom, even as adults. They need a soft, cuddly, furry friend to spend some alone time with in the bedroom. And Teddy Love is a teddy bear. It's a teddy bear. It's a teddy bear that you can spend special time with, ladies.
Very special time. Now, there's a Kickstarter-like campaign on a site called Indiegogo from this woman named Dawn. I want to say Harmon is her name. And here she is telling us a little bit about her invention that she's trying to get you to help fund and bring to marketplace.
Hi, I'm Dawn Harmon, inventor and CEO of Teddy Love. We are a startup company launching our novel first-in-class product, Teddy Love. Have you ever seen someone walking through an airport, in a restaurant, or through a place of business with a large adult toy visibly protruding from a handbag or briefcase?
Time out.
You ever, you guys?
No.
I first saw this video, I thought, adult toy? Is she talking about people carrying around sock monkeys and giant stuffed animals? Then it dawned on me. Have you ever seen someone walking down the street with a giant dildo coming out of their purse or briefcase?
Right.
The answer is no, Dawn. No one's ever seen that because it never happens.
It doesn't. That's right.
Well, our novel and discreet product, Teddy Love, can be placed anywhere, inconspicuously, without fear or embarrassment. In fact, I challenge you right now to find Teddy Love in my bedroom.
So she's standing in what might actually be her real bedroom. I don't know, but she's got a bunch of stuffed animals on the bed, and she wants you to pick out which one is also a sex toy.
Yeah.
So then she walks over and she picks it up and she starts to describe the many ideal things about this particular teddy bear.
Teddy Love has a 10-speed motor housed in the muzzle, which makes Teddy's nose and tongue vibrate very strongly.
Is there
anything non-sexy, Lisa, about using a teddy bear as a sex toy?
It's crossing the boundaries between babies and childhood
it's just a pedophilia FBI sting waiting to happen is what it is.
It really is. I don't know. Look, I understand what she's trying to do is she's trying to give you something that you can easily carry around and not have to hide or whatever.
By the way, you can't. If I see a grown-ass woman carrying a teddy bear around, I already think she's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
She was less weird if she was carrying a vibrator. I'd say, well, at least there's a sexually active, confident woman. With the woman carrying the teddy bear, I'm thinking, well, there's the girl who works the fry machine.
It is just, it's weird that she's trying to take, like Lisa says, a childhood token and sexualizing it. That's what's bizarre about it.
But at least Dawn has that sexy Jersey accent to really put us in the mood. That's what I love about this video. Try to find the bear with the vibrator in it on my bed. I bet you can't. It's really sexy.
And she is wearing a crazy business suit, too, by the way.
Well,
she's a business professional. She is the creator and CEO of Teddy Love.
Teddy Love. Now, let's find out in as much detail as we are permitted to go what Teddy Love has, what it offers you, the ladies.
The nose touches a and the tongue goes into the
All right.
The controls are in Teddy's ears, making him the ultimate listener, and you are in full control.
Now, the controls are in Teddy's ears, so I'm trying to visualize how this works. Are you, like, steering this little bear in front of you by manipulating its ears?
You grab his ears like handlebars, and you just go for a ride.
Just like you do with your men.
That's right, Lisa. Just like you do with your men.
Right, but then you've got a teddy bear up in your junk, right? That's what's happening
here.
You've
got a teddy bear nestled between your thighs.
You know, that's not even...
The ladies love a teddy bear between their thighs.
That is not sexy, right?
Is he washable, this teddy bear?
Jeez. He's fumigatable. If you see Don, you're going to think it's...
Where has that bear been?
You're going to have to hose Teddy down when this is all over.
No, I don't know that she mentioned whether Teddy is washable or not. Let's find out some other features.
He can sit facing a woman while doing his job, leaving someone's hands free to do other naughty things.
Other naughty things, Ralph.
Other naughty things.
Giant and hideous woman. What naughty things are you doing with your hands while the teddy bear is attacking your genitals? What? What are you, could you possibly be doing?
What could she be doing? What naughty things is she doing?
My hands then are free so I can crochet a dildo cover.
Teddy Love can be used on men too.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Okay, I really need to know if it can be washed.
I gotta sit on Teddy's head now?
That's what I'm wondering. What is she suggesting?
While your hands are doing other naughty things, I sit on Teddy's face?
Teddy is very versatile, unique, and pleasurable. Our business, Teddy Love, is based out of New Jersey in the United States.
Now, that's important to mention
that
because
New Jersey.
That's the one in the U.S., right? New Jersey is easily the sexiest state in the Union.
By far, yes.
So when she brings that up, it just gets me all hot.
Our product is so novel and exciting that we had over 5,000 hits on our Facebook page the first week we went live.
All right. Yeah. In case you're wondering, Ralph, I know you sent this to me yesterday. She just kicked off this campaign on Indiegogo to raise $50,000 on June 16th. Okay. That's the day that it's been a week now.
Right.
She's trying to raise $50,000. As of right now, she has raised $373.
And that was family who was pressured.
Yeah. She is at 1% right now with 53 days left to go on Teddy Gogo.
It's all from Dawn's husband who's like, yes, please let the bear do it because I don't want to go anywhere near there anymore.
All right, a little bit more.
We own the patent and trademark and are going into production this July.
That's my favorite
She's
part.
Got the patent.
Is Dave the King of Mexico writing for her? What's happening here? All right, you can go to Indiegogo.com, and the project is called Teddy Love. If you either want to contribute or want to be horrified and never sleep again.
This is one of those products that no one needs. There's no demand or desire for this product whatsoever. Don't people realize when they invent something that someone has to want it? It doesn't matter what you think of it. You have to be able to sell it to one other person. And nobody wants to jam a teddy bear in between their legs.
Can you imagine, too, if you have kids and then the little kid wanders in and grabs the bear? You're like, no, don't touch the bear.
Oh, Winnie it's the Pooh, what's happened to you?
I don't know that there's a shower that's hot enough to get the taste of that last segment off me. I'll tell you that.
The perfect storm, that video. She's rough, hideous, man. And the toy is disgusting.
That was tough right there. Hey, Ralph, we got a Kevin and Bean listener who is an expert on all things Duggar, that crazy family out in Arkansas with all the kids.
Yeah.
She's going to explain to us how the courtship happened between that daughter, I guess, of the Duggars, who just recently got married to a boy she had never even kissed. Apparently, you said something yesterday about how they met online and he was in Nepal or something. The thing is just weird.
The vast part of their relationship apparently was done over Skype. He was 8,000 miles away. And
how about that?
They kissed for the first time after they said, I do.
Amazing.
Well, I was very surprised to find out how a relationship like that develops and what's going on with that whole family. So we've got a Kevin and Bean listener, Joanna, is going to be our Duggar correspondent. We'll talk to her coming up right after the top of the hour. First, the time of the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Something vaguely sinister about that family. I don't know what's up. I know they're holy rollers and they're all in this, they're sweet and wholesome and everything, but there's some underlying oddity there, some weirdness that disturbs me.
We're all going to die tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, congratulations to Reed Scott, our buddy from Veep. He got married over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, his longtime girlfriend, Elspeth Keller. They got together and got married last Saturday. So congratulations to Reed. Also, congratulations to Kristen Bell.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband, Dax, are expecting yet another baby, their second child. They already have a year and a half old toddler named Lincoln, and they are expecting their second child soon. So
we should all rush out and take pictures of that baby when the baby is born and is out in public?
I don't think so. I don't think
that. Was that the message? I'm confused.
The opposite of the message, actually. Speaking of Kristen Bell, if you own the Frozen Blu-ray or DVD, I just found this out this week, having watched it for the 107th time, the movie. my 4-year-old daughter left the room, and I was just flipping around, seeing what's on. I'm one of those idiots who actually watches the bonus features.
Uh-huh.
And so they've got on there some interesting bonus features, one of which was behind the scenes, the making of Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen it, you should go there today and check that out. Because Kristen Bell's in there, and Josh Gad, and Jonathan Groff, and the cast is, they do a giant, giant original musical number for that bonus.
Oh, that's cool.
Which you wouldn't expect at all, and it's very, very funny. So check that out.
Are you at the point now where you can recite the dialogue and songs of that film, like, along with it as you watch the video?
Yeah, more or less. But, you know, it's a great movie. I mean, it's not – if you got to watch something with your kid, you could do a lot worse than Frozen. I'll tell you,
yeah.
I enjoy the film, so it's not a problem. And she's really good. And Kristen Bell is really good in that film. She gives a great performance. Guess who sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game the other day? At Wrigley Field. The tradition, of course – they always have a celebrity come out and do the seventh inning stretch and have them sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Guess who was doing it the other day? Did you see this?
Adele.
No, it was not Adele. Did you see who was out there?
I didn't hear about this.
It was...
the king of rock and roll. Elvis.
Can we help you out, Rob?
I just spaced. I can't find the paper here. Tom Morello, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Morello.
And Ernie Banks.
And Ernie Banks, a legendary Cub. They teamed up for the Take Me Out to the Ball Game song.
Well, he is Mr. They're both Mr. Cub. Tom Morello has a piece in this month's Rolling Stone about how the Cubs can win the World Series.
Yeah,
and
he's
that's his
diehard, diehard Cubs fan. So I thought it was really cool that Tom stopped by to sing for it. And I thought maybe you want to hear it. Here's a little piece of Tom Morello and Ernie Banks singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the Wrigley Field. So much, but he's in there. Trust me, he's in there.
So yesterday you bring us Eddie Vedder singing Let It Go. Today Tom Morello singing Take Me Out. Is this your new segment where K-Rock people sing songs you wouldn't expect them to sing?
This is called K-Rock Artists Are Becoming Our Dads.
Right.
That's what this segment is known as. Today's celebrity birthday, Solange Knowles. 28 years old today. Solange Knowles sounds like a Bond villain.
It does.
So, Solange Knowles, we meet again in this elevator. You're trying to kick the crap out of me.
Will anyone ever talk? Will we ever find out the details of what led to that elevator fight?
No.
That's going to stay in the family, right?
Yeah, that's just between them. She's 28 years old today. Minka Kelly's 34. Mindy Kaling's 35, as is occasional palm tree model Petra Nemkova. She is 35 years old today. She models palm trees.
She was in a tsunami. Ralph, she hung onto the tree.
I don't care what she was wearing. I don't know what kind of sarong or whatever she had put on. She was modeling in a palm tree.
She was trying to just stay alive and not get swept out to sea along with 100,000 other people.
You don't understand modeling at all.
I guess not.
Rich Eisen of the NFL Network turns 45 years old today. Singer Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears is 53 years old. Peter Weller. Very talented actor, 67, and guitar legend Jeff Beck turned 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Welcome to the world-famous K-Rock, home of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2014, stop number 2, the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas, the one in Nevada, don't you know? That's the Foo Fighters and the Arctic Monkeys and Fits and the Tantrums, Kanye West, Broken Bills, Outkast, Neon Trees. Great, great lineup. We got a chance for you to qualify at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then again throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. You can get details and also qualify at krock.com. All right, Lisa, let's talk the Duggars.
Okay.
I don't know much about them. Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar have or have had a reality show on TLC called 19 Kids and Counting. I don't watch the show. I don't know anything about the family, except from time to time, I think they pop up on the Today Show, like when they've had a new kid. Well, they're back in the news this time because one of their kids, their fourth child, Jill, who is now 23 years old, recently got married to a young man named Derek. And it was a very strange courtship, and they saved their first kiss for their wedding day. So Ralph was telling us about this, and we had so many questions. We thought, who can we talk to that knows something about the Duggar family? And one of our very kind K-Rock listeners, Joanna, reached out to us and said, I am a Duggar authority. I know everything about this family. I can fill you guys in. Joanna, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Good. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
And Ralph is here as well.
Oh, yay. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Joanna. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why are you a Duggar expert?
Well, much like most of America, I have been watching them on where else but the TLC, the Free Show Network.
Free Show Network, right.
I've just kind of fallen in love with the family. I think they're super cute and kind of funky, and it's always just kind of fun to watch someone who's way different. And if you guys know anything about them, you know that they're a little out there. But before we get started, can I preface by saying that I don't own any cats.
Because you know what Ralph was thinking.
Okay. I'm not 500 pounds, and I am married to an actual human man.
Wow.
Wow, she just cut our legs off at the knee then with everything we're going to say.
You do not fit the profile, that's for sure.
So is this TLC 19 Kids and Counting show still on, Joanna?
Yeah, not the final season, but they just wrapped up a season with the season finale being Jill getting engaged with Derek. But there's no doubt that it's going to go on for quite some time.
It sounds like it. Now, I just remember when these people first started making news a few years ago, when they had like their 50th or something kid, everybody got really concerned and wanted to send child services in. But then as people investigated, it seems like all of their kids are well-adjusted and well-behaved and smart, and the family seems happy. And it's almost like they're saying to the world, what do you got? Come at me now. We're doing things right here, and everybody's taken care of. Is that still the case?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you think of people like John Cleese, who were on this reality show, and then they had all this drama come up. The Duggars have had none of that. They do their own thing, and they don't let the outside world kind of taint their beliefs. And they're still wholesome, and they wear long skirts, and they don't dance, but they're still, you know, pulling in, I'm sure, millions of views.
Yeah. Do you have a child caught in a bear trap there?
Oh, no, That's my dog, Olive, who's chewing on a squirrel.
Oh,
like a monkey.
All right. let's talk about Jill. She's 23 years old, obviously a virgin. Had she ever dated anyone even before she started courting with Derek?
Well, they don't date. They court, which they call dating with a purpose. And this is the first guy we've ever seen her really talking to. They make reference to different guys calling Jim Bob and asking to be the girl, but this is the first guy she's ever really even talked to.
Bob's the dad, right?
Jim Bob's the dad, yes. Okay.
And how did they meet? Are the girls in a bubble so that guys can't get to them?
Well, it's funny because I was reading part of their book, Don't Judge.
Is that the title of the book?
Don't Judge.
No. It should be.
And, you know, they say that whenever a guy approaches them, they say, go talk to my dad. He knows what I like. So,
oh, yuck.
Yeah, it's a little weird sometimes. But,
yeah, daddy knows what I like.
Derek and Jim Bob were prayer partners over the internet because Derek was in Nepal doing humanitarian work. And in true pimp style, Jim Bob thought, I think he would like Jill and Jill would like him. So they kind of were introduced through Jim Bob. Over Skype, supervised Skype sessions, of course.
And Jim Bob thought, this is great because with 8,000 miles between them, there's no way his penis is that long.
There's no way the genitals can come anywhere near each other with that distance.
So this is so fascinating to me. So the girls never pick their own guys, and I assume it works in reverse also with the guys. Are they allowed to pick their own girls, or do they have to go through somebody too?
Well, they've only had another of their kids get married, and that was Josh, the oldest. And he kind of met this girl named Anna at a homeschool conference, and he kind of pursued her. The man in this family always has the upper hand.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I gotcha.
All right. So they're basically, are they Skype dating? And it's all supervised every time the kids talk to each other over the internet, right? There's always an adult nearby?
Anytime there's communication via Skype or text, there's always someone chaperoning.
Wow.
So on the show, they'll show Derek and Jill Skyping, and mom and dad are on the couch, and they talk a lot about scripture, and they read the Bible together, and text messages. There's always someone else in the group texting, which makes me think how it's easy to like text them on the fly and then delete it, you know?
Right.
Nice picture on the birthday.
Here's what I don't get. And look, I'm not knocking this family because it seems to be working for them. They all seem real happy. But I mean, if you're only going to have conversations about the scripture in front of your parents with a person before you marry them, it seems like there's a lot of ground that's not being covered that might indicate whether you two are going to be compatible or not, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. And then also the whole no sexy time. That's just going to, all of their hormones are raging and they're just going to want to get married faster so they can bone down.
Right. So how long did they Skype and court before the engagement?
They started talking in March of 2013 and they were engaged in March 2014. So an entire year.
Wow. And they wouldn't, and I understand they didn't even hold hands before they got engaged.
Right. All they were allowed to do was a side hug.
A side hug. What's a side hug?
So that's where you kind of like go up to someone and put your arm around their shoulders. Your front cannot touch under any circumstances.
Right, because so you know how a penis can burst through clothing.
And it's funny because when he came home from Nepal, she had waited 3 months because she had seen him in Nepal, and he ran from, you know, he was running in the airport to go see her, and they accidentally front hugged.
Oh!
Yeah.
Blasphemy.
Scandal.
Yeah.
Unclean.
The mom got all tight-lipped, and she said, oh, I'm sure they're not going to let that happen again.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right. So you got to see the wedding that was on the 19 Kids and Counting TV show?
No, they haven't aired that yet. That was this Saturday, and the season ended about a week or two ago.
Oh, so next season, it's
going to be wedding mode.
Yeah. I wonder what that first kiss is like. Like, it's not awkward enough that it's literally the first kiss of your life, but you're doing it in front of all these people and all these TV cameras
and your parents. The wedding night. Every single thing you do is a first.
Jesus. Yeah, yeah.
They had to kiss through cellophane wrap, I understand. They put saran wrap between their faces when they kissed.
You know, when the son Josh got married, they did air that. That was a few years ago, and that kiss was awkward. He pretty much wanted to eat your face off.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I'm so happy that you reached out to us, Joanna. I mean, it's so interesting to me that somebody who likes this show would also like watching the Duggars.
I know. I'm a twisted person sometimes. It's just, I find humor in everything, and It's fun just to see how kind of uptight they are. But then there's one named Ginger. Oh, they're all their names start with a J. All of the kids' names start with a J.
That's adorable.
Sure.
Yeah. So Ginger, she seems super sassy. So I'm just waiting for her to go rogue and start, like, I don't know, dating some porn star or...
Yeah, they're going to find a teddy love bear in her room.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's got to go off the rails, right?
Right.
I'm hoping.
They can't all stay between the lines, that's for sure. All right, TLC's 19 Kids and Counting is the name of the show. I guess we'll see that awkward kiss when the show returns in the fall. But Joanna, you are awesome. We really appreciate you reaching out, and we really appreciate you sharing your Duggar knowledge with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I love you guys.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ on a Tuesday morning. Ralph, has there ever been a show more in your wheelhouse than Esquire Network's Best Bars in America?
There's nothing I love better than a good bar. And the only way usually you can find out about them is from word of mouth from your other alcoholic friends. But a show like this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, they don't exactly advertise. That's not how you get drawn into a new bar.
Well, they do, but only the crappy ones advertise. I don't want to go to TGI Fridays. I want to know about the dive bar that no one else knows about that doesn't even have a sign. They have to knock three times to go in.
The show is co-hosted by two very funny men, Jay Larson and Sean Patton, and half of them are here in studio with us right now. Hey, Jay, how are you?
What's up, guys?
You are a comedian and TV host, and how does one get a job flying around the country drinking and getting paid for it?
I have a small problem. You know, it's an issue, actually. It's more of an intervention.
It's a blessing.
It is a blessing. I drank for a while, you know what I mean? I've drank for a long time, and they're like, you know what, let's put this to good use.
Let me make some money on this.
Let's make some money.
Everyone's got their special skill set, and you've got one.
It's changed going into bars now, though. It's tough to actually go into a bar and be like, are you kidding me? I'm not getting... They don't have two seats for me ready to go, and they don't have drinks poured for me.
Give me your special on the house.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not like somebody who goes in undercover and takes notes. I mean, they know you're coming, and they're rolling out the red carpet to impress you to get on your list of best bars. Then
no, it's some of them have already been on. You know, every year Esquire puts out the best bars in America list. Dave Wondrich, who's a cocktail guru, and I mean, talk about a professional, Dave Wondrich. He puts this list together. So. Some of them are on the list. Some of them aren't yet. Some of them are people that we know. Some are people that, like, when we're in a city, recommend to check this place out.
You know, I love that issue of Esquire when they do that every year, because you go city by city and they tell you the best bars for, mm-hmm. you know, high end to low end, from dives to specialty cocktail joints. And invariably, I'll take it with me when I'm traveling. If I'm going to a city, I'll pull that page out because those are great places to check.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we did too. We dives, high end cocktails, food bars, hotel bars. We kind of did it all.
How many cities did you visit throughout the season?
We did seven cities. We did Boston, Austin, New York, New Orleans, Brooklyn, L.A., Portland.
Wow!
And then how many bars on average in each city?
About 11 to 13.
Holy
in
crap!
In a day?
That was my next question.
We would do three a day.
Three a day,
yeah.
Wow. So that third episode probably was a little shaky by the end of the day.
That first episode was a little shaky.
It would be a longer season, but everyone had to check into rehab to get ready for next season.
And those are some drinking towns, too, the ones you know. Those are cocktail capitals.
They're known for it.
Exactly. That's the thing, you know. And we would go to, like in Austin, you're talking about, like, secret spots. You know, they have Sixth Street, which is their bourbon, which is not even close to bourbon, by the way.
Right, yeah.
If you haven't been. I'm sure a lot of people have.
Yeah.
But we went to, like, a hidden cocktail bar that didn't even have a sign, and you went in there and we had some of the best drinks we had in the whole trip in the middle of, like, you know, College Bar Central, you know? So we take you down some really cool places.
What is the thought process behind the bars that are intentionally hard to find and under the radar and don't even put a sign out front? I mean, it just doesn't seem like good business.
I completely, as a stand-up comedian, if I didn't tell anybody about my jokes, who would I be performing to?
Yeah.
But I think their whole thing was, we're just going to do it different. They let word of mouth. And then it's like that thing, like, if you don't know about it, people want to know about it.
Sure.
So I think
it's
the same
automatically
thing.
Cooler, you know, once you have to work a little bit to get in.
Yeah, it is.
What is it you look for, Jay, personally? I don't know what your criteria are on the show, but you personally, if you're selecting a bar, what do you want out of it?
I mean, I'll put it this way. I can get by on whiskey, so you know what I mean? I like a nice cocktail once in a while, but I just want ambiance, you know what I mean? I want regulars. Every bar that we went to that had, like, down-home regulars made it. Like, we went to this place in Boston, and we had 12 women in their late 50s and early 60s in our face, literally yelling in my face. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? I might have to flex.
Throw down.
Yeah.
It really is. The atmosphere and the people make up a bar. Because let's face it, booze is pretty much booze. You can get it almost anywhere. You can get a bottle and go home if you just want to drink.
Yeah.
You go to these places because you want to have an experience.
Yeah.
Right?
You should be hosting this show.
I should be drinking on your show. That's what I should be doing.
Ralph has lived his entire life for this moment where he should be hosting this show.
No, so I love the bar culture so much. And coming up, you know, in the entertainment business, I don't know about you, Jay, but I had to work in bars. I mean, I was a bartender
for a long time
before I ever got my first decent gig. So if you enjoy that world and you like those people, this sounds like an awesome show.
Yeah.
So Jay, you mentioned the ladies in the Boston bar. Ralph, how about you? When you go into a bar, if you're there by yourself or with a friend, will you go out of your way to talk to the regulars in the bar? I mean, is that part of the experience for you, is meeting the other people who are there?
I don't need to. I like to absorb it, and I like to listen more than I like to talk. If they engage, it's great. If they're friendly and stuff. But sometimes just going in and watching them interact, it's like being on safari. You go in there to the plains of the Serengeti, and you watch the wild animals in their natural habitat. It's fascinating to me to watch that dynamic.
And some places you got to kind of feel out. You know, you could start talking to the bartender and realize, he doesn't want to talk, and then the regulars don't want to talk, and then you realize, oh, I'm just going to camp out right here. And other places, they'll just get you involved from go. Like Tiki T, have you guys been to Tiki T?
Sure, the Tiki T, yeah.
There's this one drink, when you order it, they take out this little tiny doll bull. It's like this little bull, and then they wind it up, and it goes and prances all the way down the bar, and the whole place screams and yells.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my, order that up right now. I don't care what it tastes like. I want the bull down the bar, you know?
Since we are in L.A. and you mentioned the Tiki T, how about some other good bars in Los Angeles? What are your some?
Can I stop you right there, Ralph, because we have to take a break.
Oh, so, you're bad.
I know.
This is the behavior of a non-drinker
here. Looking at the clock. I know this is vital information that our listeners are hanging on.
Give me your keys. You've had too many shots. F you, sober
Jay
boy.
Larson is here. The show is called Best Bars in America. It debuts tomorrow night at 10 on the Esquire Network. More in a moment, right after this on K-Rock. Talking about the best bars in America, a new program on the Esquire Network, June 25th. Hey, point of business here, Jay Larson, co-host of the program. Most people have the Esquire Network or do not have the Esquire Network?
Most people do, and they just don't know they do.
Okay.
I mean,
find it.
We're in 75 million homes. So if you don't, it's like one of those things like, why don't I have it? But you can just call your provider and get it.
Well, it's a new network, right?
Yeah, it's
new. It used to be G4, right?
I believe it was Style.
Style, that's what it was.
And
it
came out in September of last year. And they have great programming. And if you like the magazine, you know, it's geared towards men a little bit, I would say.
They've got an amazing, just as a quick aside before we get back to your show, they've got an amazing travel show where they take celebrities showing other celebrities cities all over the world and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a great
They have
channel.
Other great shows, like Knife Fight is a great cooking show. And then they also have Brew Dogs, which is a beer drinking show. And now Best Bars, which we're drinking everything.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's a travel show as well. So you're seeing different cities and seeing different bar cultures around the country. It's pretty awesome.
Before we get to Ralph's question about Southern California bars, you also have a celebrity angle to Best Bars in America as well, right? Don't you have some people who go with you?
Yeah, we sure do. Well, I mean, you know, Sean Patton, who's another comedian, co-hosts the show with me. When we're in different cities, we'll bring different people in depending on where we are. Like when we're in Brooklyn, Hannibal Buress, great comedian, he came
nice.
On. And then we're in New York, Janine Garofalo came on. Then we're in Portland, Chris Funk from The Decemberists came on. You know, so depending on where we are, we're in Austin and Brent Moore and another comedian. He's on a new show called Undateable. He came on. So we'll have different people in, you know, depending on where we are and who's around.
It's like comedians in cars getting loaded.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Let's talk L.A.
Yeah.
You live here. I would imagine you would know more great bars here than any place in America.
Yeah, that's probably true. But, I mean, again, L.A., as you know, is loaded with bars. So we got, you know, we got Snuck Attack. You know, I don't even know if you can say Snuck Attack, but we got Snuck Attacked. And places I had never even heard of, you know, some I had. Like, we went to The Varnish, which is behind Kohl's in downtown.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
Kohl's,
sure.
The original
yeah, yeah.
French. Are you guys Kohl's people, or are you?
I've read about it. I've never been.
I've been, but not a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, great French dip. Varnish is in the back with great, great cocktails. So, I had never been there. And then, like I said, Tiki T, which literally Tiki T seats, I think, 32 people, maybe. I think that's their max capacity.
Yeah.
And it's run by a dad and two sons. They are the only people working there, so they have zero employees, so you can still smoke inside, which is a trip.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, that's a time machine.
It's like walking into Mad Men off the street, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
That's crazy.
Kind
of. Do a lot of places have their own, they made it up, it's the only place you can get it, drink?
Nah, kind of. But you'll go, I mean, literally we had about 12 Manhattans on this trip, you know what I mean? Because everyone would be like, oh, this is how we do a Manhattan. Like, oh, okay. And we went to a place in Portland where they would take an old cocktail, like, have you ever had an amaretto sour?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the worst drink you've ever had. No one ever orders that. And this guy totally redid it and made it the most amazing drink you've ever had.
Oh, wow.
You know? And they did a Long Island iced tea, which is like, you just drink that to get wrecked.
Right.
And
exactly.
This guy's like, nah, try this. And you're like, oh, my God, that is unbelievable. So people were doing everything. I don't think there's anyone claiming they had the original. I mean, we did in New Orleans. We were at Molly's at the Market, and we had a frozen Irish coffee that they said was the original and the best. I'm not kidding you. It was
unbelievable.
Never heard
of frozen Irish coffee.
I know. Me either.
Wow.
And I had two of them.
And
Lisa's eyes just lit up. That's her kind of drink.
Totally.
Something sweet that gets her loaded.
Exactly. Yeah. And you feel ridiculous drinking it, but then you're like, I don't care because I'm buzzed and this is fantastic.
This is good.
Yeah.
Is a factor at all in looking for a best bar, looking for a place where single people can meet other single people? Is that anything that you looked at?
Put it this way. I bartended for a long time. I'm now married. I still love to go to bars. My wife and I especially love to go, and we'd love to sit at the bar. That's like the best place for us. But I think so. I think everyone loves to go and meet people, don't you think?
Yeah.
Especially single people. I mean, Sean's single, and we were out there, and you know, he was having a great time, and I was having a great time with him. And watching him, you know?
Back at the hotel or while you're in the bar.
All right,
I don't know how you guys.
That's
roll.
Season two.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Season two.
What's the most expensive drink you had on Esquire's dime while you were filming the season one?
Well, during the special, we had a shot of 50-year-old rum that was $350.
Wow.
Whoa!
And we were like, yeah, we'll take that. Like, anytime I'd walk into a whiskey bar, if they had Pappy Van Winkle, which is expensive, I'd be like, yeah, I'll take the Pappy, just knowing. I'm like, this is not on my tab.
Right. Yeah.
But $350 for a shot of rum.
Anything else in L.A. stood out especially since that's where.
Well, we did. We also did a hotel bar episode, you know. So we went to High in Venice, which is at the top of the Hotel Irwin, right. Which is like you're staring at the ocean, drinking cocktails.
It's a beautiful it's view.
Pretty yeah. amazing, yeah. yeah. So that was pretty epic, you know. Just to be, and again, you have to fight to get tables. You know, we didn't have to fight.
That's
you know,
so
right?
Nice.
And we didn't have to fight to pick up the check.
Did you guys do any of the classics like Musso and Frank's or Barney's Beanery or any sort of the legendary spots that everybody knows about?
I love that you put Barney's on there.
I love Barney's.
I know. But no, we didn't. Like a lot of it is, you know, finding places that either have been around since 1918,
right.
or haven't. You
right,
know,
yeah.
new and doing something different, and the mix of dives and hotels and. High-end cocktails, and then, you know, like Ye Rustic Inn. You know the Ye Rustic Inn?
Mm-mm.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a total dive up in Los Feliz. So we hit that up, you know, because they have wings, and we hit the wings, and I may have gotten into a scuffle with some regulars. That happens once in a while.
I hope that's on the show, Jay. The program is called Best Bars in America. It debuts tomorrow night on the Esquire Network at 10 o'clock. Hey, Jay, before you go, you do stand-up, and you also have a podcast. Let's hear about it.
I sure do. I do stand-up all over the country, and I have a great podcast. Comes out every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's today.
Yeah.
It's called The Crab Feast, and you can check it out on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're still rocking a Zune, you can check it out. Check that
Zune.
Out. And check out Best Bars. If you don't have Esquire, call your provider. It's on Esquire Network, 10 p.m. on Wednesday night, starting tomorrow night, June 25th. So.
Awesome. Well, the show sounds great. It's really cool to meet you, man. Thanks for coming in
you
and chatting with
be.
Us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
We're the station that everyone at work can agree on.
Yeah, that's right. You're coasting with Ted Ziegenbusch.
We certainly are. Hey, Drunk History's coming back next week, Ralph.
Hell yeah.
Derek and Jeremy from Drunk History on Comedy Central are going to be joining us coming up later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll get you qualified for the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas with Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, Fits in the Tantrums, Kanye West, so much more. You can get details at KREC.com. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning.
There could be a huge celebrity cameo popping up in Star Wars Episode 7, if you believe the London Sun British tabloid. They say J.J. Abrams spent some quality time last weekend with a friend of his.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not DiCaprio. Who apparently wants to show up in the film. That man's name? Tom Cruise.
What?
Really?
Can you imagine Tom Cruise in Star Wars?
That could be cool.
Nope.
I guess.
But it would make people cool. interested. Like, oh, I want to see him be a Jedi Knight. Look, the Jedi religion... is very close to Scientology anyway. He's got a lot of experience with otherworldly, spacey, other planet religions. So it's a pretty good tie-in.
Ralph, I like many people. Love
you don't like many people.
No, I similar to many people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Love the Star Wars movies.
Yes.
I don't know that I want updates from what might or might not be in the next Star Wars movie every day for the next 2 years. Why can't we just wait and have it come out and go see it?
Because Grandpa, there's not the Pony Express doesn't bring us information anymore. Now we live in a different world.
But why do we have to have a new rumor to speculate about every single day about Star Wars? Why can't we just let them go off and make their movie and then we see it when it comes out?
Because people feel passionately about this and they want to know stuff.
I feel passionately about it.
You're the guy who needs to know everything all the time and know it first. If you read a story and there's not enough information in the story, you get violent.
Right, but that's in real life. That's actual news. I feel like that's just shoddy journalism. This is Hollywood making a movie. This is a fantasy thing. That
well, for
they,
some
they,
people, this is real news. They're
they
passionate
should be
about
allowed
these things.
To go off and create it without us, you know... being voyeurs on the set every minute.
So you're telling me you don't want there to be showbiz news? Is that what you're saying to me? That's what you'd rather not have in the world?
What I'm saying is the movie's not coming out for like 2 years. Maybe we could ramp down the overdrive a little bit on news out of the Star Wars set. That's all I'm saying. It's just, it's too much.
I couldn't
have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you. At least you made
whoever
it
that guy is wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Lisa, what are you eating over there?
What?
Some smell got released in this room.
I'm sorry.
It's like you're eating
it's food.
A horse sphincter. I don't know what it is, but it's very potent.
Sorry.
I hope it's good for you, whatever
it is.
Because
good for you.
I hope it smells better coming out than it does going in.
Please tell us what it is, Lisa, because
no,
I know you're on the cloud
diet. It's
just
like a hamburger patty and some broccoli.
Really?
Or broccolini.
Something very potent. It kind of knocked me back on my heels.
What the hell is that smell?
Lifetime Network is making a biopic of Aaliyah. You know Aaliyah, the late R&B singer?
Oh, sure,
oh, yeah.
The Princess of R&B, as she was known.
Still very popular all these many years after her death. People still, I mean, they still talk about her like she's Kurt Cobain sometimes.
Zendaya will be portraying her in the biopic. And the New York Post says that they are going to deal with the good, the bad, and the ugly about her life, including Aaliyah's illegal marriage to R. Kelly. Are you familiar with this story?
Oh, when she was 15, right?
Yeah. This allegedly happened back in 1994 when he was 27 and she was 15 years old.
Yeah, and they tried to keep that real hush-hush at the time.
Well, she denied it ever happened. But after her 2001 death in a plane crash, a marriage certificate was found that listed her age as 18, but they know because of when the relationship happened that she was not 18 years old. Her parents had the marriage annulled, allegedly, so this will all be dealt with in the story of her life, and apparently family not too happy that will be included in the script.
They would rather just that part of the story just get forgotten.
Yeah, well, I guess with any biopic, the people want that person painted in the best possible light, and you don't want them to come off shabby.
Boy, is there anything that R. Kelly has ever done that isn't creepy?
No, I don't think so. Did you see the footage from that Lady Gaga video he was in?
Yes.
Where he sort of knocks her out on the surgery table and then starts molesting her under the sheet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. Hey, good news. Ryan Seacrest and all the judges are coming back for American Idol next season.
Yay! Which judges?
Jennifer Lopez, Keith Urban, and Harry Connick Jr.
Nobody gives a crap!
We'll be returning for another season of that show.
So what?
Sure. Well, there's that. Speaking of reality singing competition shows, this rising star on ABC,
mm-hmm.
is taking a beating in the ratings. Nobody's watching. And everyone's, there's all kinds of rumors going around that they think it's BS, first of all. They had a thing in the opening episode where they pulled somebody out of the audience who had supposedly auditioned via Twitter. Like, oh, surprise, you're going to compete. And she's like, oh, I can't believe it. And apparently it was all a hoax, that it was all set up. And it's based, the whole thing is predicated on live voting. While you're watching the show live, you're supposed to be voting.
Uh-huh.
So everybody on the West Coast, when they watch it, it's completely pointless for you to watch it because you can't make a dent in the voting because it's already been shot. It's show delayed here.
Right.
So they have all kinds of logistical problems with people complaining.
Is that the one that Kesha is on?
Yes, she's one of the judges.
Well, that's all you need to know about Rising Star.
Come on, man. It's Kesha. She doesn't have a dollar sign anymore. We got to come at her. And more reality competition shows. Lifetime announced its celebrity judges for the upcoming 13th season of Project Runway. That's the one with Tiz. Is that the one with Tim Gunn? Is he still on that show?
It is the one with him. I think he's still on it. I haven't watched it in
a few
seasons.
I don't think
he
did a very good job. He's like the male. No, I was going to say her name. I can't say it because my boss told me I love her. Modern Family's Julie Bowen's going to be one of the judges. And Pretty Little Liars' Shay Mitchell will also be on there. Lindsay Vonn, Mad Men's Elizabeth Moss, and Dita Von Teese will all be popping in for an episode. So that show returns July 24th, if you're so inclined. Today's celebrity birthdays. Solange Knowles is 28 years old. Minka Kelly's 34. Mindy Kaling's 35. Petra Nemkova turns 35 years old. Rich Eisen's 45. Kurt Smith is 53 years old. Peter Weller is 67, and guitar legend Jeff Beck, 70 years old today. Bean, would you say one of the top three rock guitarists of all time?
Yes, I would.
He's up there with Clapton and Van Halen, right?
Yeah, and Jimmy Page, those guys. Page, I mean, yeah, if there's a top five in the top three, he's definitely in it.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to K-Rock, and that is a questionable choice, but thank you anyway for checking out the Kevin and Bean Show here on this Tuesday morning. Lisa, how you doing with your broccolini there? You good?
I'm good. I'm trying to keep the lid on it so I don't offend anybody.
Why are you eating, as Ralph put it, something that smells like horse sphincter at 8 o'clock in the morning?
It's vegetables that I put in the microwave.
I know, but you used to eat like a regular person. You used to come in and you used to have sandwiches and pancakes and cereal and just regular food that regular people eat. Ever since you've been going to this crazy doctor that put you on the cloud diet.
It's a vegetable. There's nothing crazy about vegetables.
What's wrong with you?
I have Hashimoto's.
Hashimoto.
Yeah, so it's where your body attacks your own thyroid.
Now, I saw an article the other day that talked about the Hashimoto's. Apparently, this is a thyroid condition that is often misdiagnosed. Apparently, people often think it's one thing, and it turns out to be Hashimoto's disease.
Yeah.
And what do they do for that? Is it just you just switch up your diet? That's all you do?
Well, some people just take Synthroid, which treats the thyroid, but it doesn't really treat the underlying issues. So what I was told to do was pull out everything out of my diet that could potentially create leaky gut, because there's a connection between that and Hashimoto's. And once you've healed it, you can start reintroducing foods and see what bothers you and what doesn't. Some foods you may have to avoid the rest of your life for the most part, but a lot of foods you can go back to. But you can heal a lot of it with diet.
Very sexy hearing you talk about leaky gut.
I know. Don't you love that?
This article that talked about the Hashimoto's disease that I saw recently was talking about all of the diseases that are very difficult to diagnose. Like yours, for instance, you go in and you think it's a certain kind of thyroid condition. It turns out to be something else. There are people all the time who go in. And by the way, Hashimoto's disease, it has jumped from 30,000 cases a year to 300,000 cases in a year.
Well, part of it is they have found new ways to diagnose it. They have better tests than they used to have.
Lyme disease is another disease that is way on the rise. People do not think they have Lyme disease. They think there's just something wrong with their knees or something, and it turns out it's Lyme disease. There are all sorts of things that you go to, and you know, there's a much more complicated and in many cases sinister disease behind it. And I don't even know. I mean, I guess if you come in with just, you know, symptoms like stress and exhaustion and things like that, I guess it's tough to narrow it down. But medical science is making a lot of inroads, and I thought we would talk to your doctor again, because it's been a couple of weeks since we caught up with Dr. Aristotle Freedom, and I believe he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, who can help us make sense on these tough diagnoses that the medical profession is working so hard on.
He's
Dr.
great.
Freedom, hello.
Hi,
hey,
Dr.
Man.
Freedom.
Hey there, Lisa May. How's your leaky gut?
It's getting better. Thank you.
Awesome.
So, Dr. Freedom, I don't think I did a good job explaining what's going on, but it seems like science is digging deeper and deeper and finding stranger and stranger and rarer diseases that's helping you more accurately pinpoint what's wrong with people.
Yeah, man. It's like people go around all the time saying, oh, I'm just... You know, I always feel tired, and I have no energy, and I've got aches and pains. It's just, I guess that's just the way it is, you know? But no, it turns out there's a lot of these so-called mystery diseases that people have, and they don't even, they're not even aware of it, man. You're not supposed to feel like that. The human body's beautiful, man. You're supposed to always feel good and have a lot of energy and be able to go out there and take on the world, you know? Hold on a second.
Whoa, what's that?
I'm just clearing my chakra.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could hear that. Is that a bell you ring when your chakra gets clear?
Yeah, I use that. That tone cleanses me, man.
Makes
my prostate throb.
Now, doctor, a lot of people think that you just start to break down a little bit as you get older, and it's just normal, and there's no way to fight if you're just tired all the time, for instance. That just has to do with you're a human being who has lived on the earth for a number of years.
Yeah, that's just wrong, man.
It is wrong.
That's wrong-headed thinking right there. You know, you shouldn't be gassy and bloated and fatigued and, you know, dealing with the chocolate fountain.
You know, I don't need to hear about that at all. Why'd you bring that up?
Because that's a lot of people say, "Oh man, I got a bathroom emergency, man. I got to run."
Yeah,
and that's not healthy, man.
Right? So we got a guy like that on this show. I know what you're talking about.
A lot of people have SIBO. They don't even know they have SIBO.
I've heard of SIBO.
Yeah,
what is SIBO?
SIBO.
What's SIBO?
Small intestinal bacteria overgrowth.
Ugh.
That's when your natural intestinal flora, man, has been disrupted. You have too much bad bacteria in your gut, man. Next thing you know, chocolate rain.
Please don't talk about anything having to do with chocolate. So if people come to you, Dr. Aristotle Freedom, and they follow your ways, they won't feel any of these things. They'll always feel like a finely tuned machine.
That's right. I mean, I'll help you. I'll diagnose you. A lot of these mystery diseases that now, like Lisa said, we have tests for, like myalgia.
What's myalgia? I don't even know.
Myalgia is the constant need to stick your ass up in the air and twerk, and then you can't keep your tongue in your mouth.
Oh.
It's myalgia.
I know. So I've seen someone on the internet who has that.
Yeah, it's an epidemic, man. Bieber flu. A lot of people don't know they have Bieber flu.
Now, the Bieber flu. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, it means you constantly act like a douchebag and you have to pee in a bucket all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
You don't want that.
Ryder syndrome. You know what Ryder syndrome.
No.
That's a, that's the where the... I think I've got it, man.
I think you do.
It's where the brain and your mouth stop working together. I just had a spell.
Right. Well, it's contagious on this show.
And there's a lot of leg pain, too. You feel like your ankle was cut off right at the knee when you have Ryder syndrome.
Yeah, you don't want
that.
And you
feel the impossible urge to put yourself in dangerous places to watch soccer.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous, yeah.
Oh, there's another syndrome. It's horrible. You go to work every day, and every time you're at work, if you're tired and angry and you want to kill the guy at work that you work with, it's called mugatosis. But you feel better immediately you leave, when you leave work, man. It's weird.
Is that
you don't feel it at home, but you go to work, it's like, oh, I'm so tired and angry, I want to kill that dude. That's mugatosis. The only way you can cure that is by firing beer mugs.
I like it. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 K. KROQ on a Tuesday morning. By the way, a lot of great shows still to come today, including the guys from Drunk History next hour. But listen to this tomorrow, Ralph. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Kat Deely is going to be in studio with us.
Man, that's jeez, pretty much everything.
Right?
Right? That accent and that face and that those things that she has attached to her body. What are they called? Legs. Legs. That's it.
Also, those aren't the things I was thinking of, but I agree with you on that as well. Also, our friend Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, will be on the program tomorrow.
His legs, too. Mm.
Actor Max Greenfield will be here. He's Schmidt, don't you know? He is starring in a hilarious new movie called They Came Together. We'll talk to him. Adam Carolla. We got a brand new internet roundup. And we're going to be talking to one of the contestants of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Yeah.
You know this this Sonia Thomas. She's like a tiny little thing.
Mm-hmm, but she can take a hot dog.
well said.
Take like 100 of them.
You could take a sausage like nobody's business.
So that is tomorrow right here at the Kevin DeBede Show. And I'm glad you're in here, Ralph, because apparently you are asking the Kevin DeBede listeners for some help. And I think that this is a fascinating topic that I don't know that we've ever discussed before on the show.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine who's in the middle of a quandary because his wife is exercising her veto control that she claims she has over his other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened early on when they first got together. He was one of these guys who was able to maintain friendly relationships with his exes.
Mm-hmm.
One in particular that they had dated for a short period of time, but had been friends before that and maintained a friendship after that fact.
And sounds very mature, very healthy.
It was. And they had worked together and stuff, and he was an actor and she was an actress, and they had done they were in a theater company together. And so when he got married, the wife said, I am not comfortable with that relationship. I do not want you being friends with her any longer. And so, like many newlyweds, he just did whatever she said. And so that relationship ended. I always felt bad about that because he always enjoyed her company, this other girl's company.
Yeah, and they were actual legitimate friends. It wasn't like there was funny business
going on.
They
weren't F-buddies or anything. They were just people who had had a history together and had maintained a friendship. But that was over. And then now the same wife, some years later, has expressed interest in one of his friends that he pals around with. She thinks he is not a good dude. And so she has told him that she would really appreciate it if there was no longer a relationship between him and his male friend now. And I said to the guy, I said, you can't just allow her just to cut people out of your life willy-nilly. And he told me, shut up.
It's a fascinating subject, and we do want to take calls on it. If you've ever had that situation where somebody has asked you to choose between a friend and a spouse or a friend and a significant other, or if you've been in any part of that equation, if you're the person who got cut out of the relationship or if you're the person who's doing the demanding, and what are your reasons for cutting somebody out? Jealousy is an ugly, ugly thing, Ralph.
But in this case with the guy, I mean, the first one I think was jealousy, but the second one with the guy, I just think she doesn't like him. And so she is, instead of saying, I don't want to be around him, you can go out with him and just hang with him on your own, but don't bring him around here. She's telling the husband, don't have him as your friend anymore.
So it's not a it's not that he's spending a lot of time with that other person and the wife is jealous because he's you know, giving up time that they should be spending. She doesn't like him, so thinks he shouldn't like him too.
Right. That he should not be a part of her husband's life, and she couches it in, I love you and I care about you and I want you to be surrounded by good people, and he's not a good person and
she thinks he's a bad influence. I take it.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's not like a drug addict or anything. Yeah. I just think maybe she doesn't like his behavior.
It would be like
attitude.
Kevin hanging out with my boyfriend. Like, what kind of trouble are they going to get?
Yeah, that's true. You don't want that.
Too much drinking. You know, but I'm sure getting thrown out of places.
I'm sure there's family members that people say, insist, you know, that you no longer have contact with, and exes, as we mentioned, and friends. I'm sure it crosses all sorts of boundaries when it comes to relationships about who gets axed out of the social picture because of one or the other in a couple's unhappiness with them.
And what's worth a fight about? I mean, is your advice to your friend is stand your ground, because this is only going to get worse. Look, you're an adult and you're not doing anything wrong, and you should be allowed to have to be friends with whoever you want, right? I mean, it shouldn't impact your marriage.
And his position was, happy wife, happy life, shut up, leave me alone, I'm just going to do this because it's the path of least resistance for me. I said, you pussy!
We're taking your calls right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you have thoughts on this, or if you've been in one of these triangles where you've been any part of the of what's going on here, we want to find out what happened, what the story was, and how it affected you. I'm so fortunate in situations like this that I don't have friends.
Mm.
And that I really
so much simpler for you.
I really have no family that's interested at all in hanging out with me, as we learned on my recent trip to Las Vegas. Yeah. But I will tell you, it's interesting to see, you know, in my wife's circle of friends, because she's a very outgoing person. I mean, she has a lot of different combinations of friends, some of whom do not get along with each other at all.
Mm.
It's like, I can hang out with this friend and this friend, but not this friend if I'm hanging out with this friend. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's a complicated schedule to determine who was willing to be in the same room together, but she manages to make it all work and stay friends with everybody, which I think is good.
Well, plus your wife has all those boyfriends, too, which must make complicated situations, too.
How dare you?
She's off banging those dudes that she
How
bangs.
Dare you? 1-800-520-1067. It's a significant other versus a friend. How do you handle it? What's the circumstance? Let's talk to Kyle real quick on line two, calling from Rancho Cucamonga, which I think is the best of all the ranchos, by the way.
It really is, yeah.
Hey, Kyle, welcome to the show, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Now, what end of this were you, Kyle? Were you the giver or the receiver of the ultimatum?
I actually told her that she could not see her friend anymore. She's been friends with this guy forever, and she lied to me and told me that she had never had an intimate relationship with him. She lied to me for over a year, and then one day she finally told me that she had actually had sex with him, and that just set me off, and I told her, I don't want you seeing him anymore, and she listened.
Like a good woman should.
So I'm just curious. I understand where you're coming from, and I understand why you were hurt. And look, the whole idea of what we're talking about here is honest adult communication, and she kind of violated that by not being upfront about the relationship. But I'm just curious, had the sex happened a long time before, and now they were actually just friends, and there wasn't any danger of that happening again?
I don't know, maybe a year before we got together.
Uh-huh.
But
it was just too close for comfort for you.
Yeah, it's just, I didn't like the fact that she had to lie to me about it, you know?
But
it
maybe she knew that if she told you the truth, you would insist that she'd never see her longtime friend anymore.
No, I don't think so. I gave her the opportunity from the very beginning to just be upfront with me. And I believe, you know, relationships should be based on honesty from the very beginning, and she violated that.
Had she said, I had sex with this guy who's a longtime friend of mine, but it was just a one-time thing, would you have been like, okay, cool, you can keep hanging out with him?
Yeah, no, I totally would have. And that's exactly what she said it was, a one-time thing, and, you know.
Interesting. How about that? So she accepted your ruling. You from the Iron Throne. You basically said no, and she said okay, and everything's been cool since.
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah, she's thrilled. I can tell.
Well, it sounds like it's nothing but roses, Kyle.
Winter is coming.
All right, sir. Thanks so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Who got cut out of the various friendships and relationships, and why? And how'd you handle it? We'll talk to you next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The late, great Bradley Noel and Sublime here on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and we have just opened up a beehive here of just drama among our listeners. Ralph was telling us a story about a friend of his that came to him looking for a little advice. He's been in a situation where his wife has now asked for him to cut the second person out of his life that he doesn't have any problems with, that isn't creating any drama in the marriage, but just because the wife doesn't dig that person. Right, Ralph?
Yeah, it's strange. I think it's a control issue, I guess. guess, more than anything.
Probably. And there must be a slight bit that you don't trust your significant other not to let somebody else get them carried away or
something. There's got to be something going on here, yeah. But plenty of our listeners are or have been in this situation, including Amy in Glendale, and she's up first. She's on line one. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. This one sounds like it hit you pretty close to home.
It did. I dumped my best friend for my boyfriend of 3 months.
Wow.
And it was at her urging that I choose between her and him that I made this decision. Yeah, she got kind of jealous that we wouldn't include her on our date. And
in the bedroom.
Maybe that's what she was angling for. So Amy, so your best friend said, hey, I am jealous of your new boyfriend, so you have to choose between us?
Basically, yes. She said, you know, you've been friends with me for 5 years. I think you need to make a decision in here who's more important to you.
Wow.
And so I told her then that, you know, she would never be the father of my children. So sorry, but you lose out. And if you're going to make those kinds of threats, you're going to be on the short end of the stick. And we never spoke again after that conversation.
That's sad.
It was sad. But, you know, I've been, that was 18 years ago, and I've been married for 16 years, and I have two gorgeous kids, and I have no regrets.
Yeah, you have no regrets because it worked out. But if you had a boyfriend for 3 months and you cut out your best girlfriend and then that relationship broken up, then you would have had issues.
I don't know. I mean, if you have a friend who's making those kinds of demands on you, I don't think that's really a real friend. I think that's like dependence on some crazy level.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's a weird story. I'm glad it worked out for you, Amy. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tara. She's up next. She's in Woodland Hills, and she's on line four. Hi, Tara. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, thank you. How are you guys?
Hi.
So you were the one giving the ultimatum. Tell us what was going on.
Yes, actually. So I am actually still with my current boyfriend. It was actually probably last year. He was actually pretty kind of close with a couple girlfriends. And then, you know, women's intuition, I was able to get into his phone, and these text messages were way too friendly. And I did tell him, you know, you need to stop talking to these girls. And then he said, okay. He said, I won't do it again. And then months later, I checked his phone again, and he was still talking to these girls, very flirtatious. I'm not sure. Never found out if he physically cheated on me, but these text messages were not great to see. And then I gave him an ultimatum. I told him, either them or me, and then, well, of course, he chose me.
Of course. Of course, you got to choose the girl who snoops in your phone all the time.
Obviously.
You don't let that girl go.
And then I haven't checked this one recently because I'm trying to get a little better on that. So I'm not sure if that's still going
right.
on. But, I mean, our relationship is a lot better, so.
Let me ask you this, Ralph. This sounds like a little bit of a different situation because it sounds like she had some reason
had
to be
reason.
Concerned. That's different from your friend's story, right?
Yeah, she had evidence. So you could see why she would make that.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Tara. Actually, I really appreciate it. Actually, a lot, actually. Let's go to Rick in Santa Monica. Up next, line five, I want to say. Hi, Rick. Thank you for calling. What happened?
Morning, Bert. I'm just coming out of this situation, and Ralph, the best thing I can say for your friend, it's only going to get worse. The demands are going to get greater, and it's not going to end well. I was dating this woman. After about a year, we decided to move in together. A couple months into the relationship, she started asking me about a bunch of friends that I had on Facebook and whatnot, and basically what it turned out is she had nothing better to do than to look at every friend on my Facebook, look at every picture I'd ever posted, look at every comment that was ever made, and basically came to me with a list, literally sent out to me that list, and said, you need to get rid of these people. You need to block them.
Wow.
And most of these people were people that I was just friends on Facebook with, that I had had interaction with, friends from high school, friends from 10, 12 years ago. And then I would get contacted by some of these people saying, do you know so-and-so? And I go, yeah, it's my girlfriend. Well, she friend requested me. And I'm like, okay.
That's a lot of Facebook drama.
It sure is.
It shouldn't be this way.
That's all she had the time to do is look at every comment I'd ever made, every picture I'd ever made.
So is this why you ended up breaking up with her? Is just too much interfering in your digital life?
Well, she was doing like the last caller and going in my phone and getting the SIM card out and seeing all my pictures. And,
what is going on here with our listeners?
And this is what I'm saying. It started out small, and I made the concessions and said, okay, you have a problem with my me being friends with my ex-wife. I understand. We don't have a relationship anymore. I'll delete her, no problem. An ex-girlfriend who...
I understand, Rick. We got to move on to some other calls, but thank you very much.
Hey, you want to hear how it's done right, how the relationship is supposed to work out?
I do.
My buddy Lorenzo Lamas is on the phone.
What?
Oh.
Lorenzo called in, my co-star from the Joe Schmo Show.
Yeah.
Lorenzo had a situation with his wife, and it worked out. Lorenzo, you there, buddy?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
hi, Lorenzo.
Sir.
What's happening?
Now, tell us how it's supposed to be done.
Well, I'll give you both sides of the spectrum.
All right.
Because I have been in a relationship where, you know, I was given limitations, and friends of mine were kind of like, you know, isolated and pushed out of the relationship. And it really, really sucks because you're living with the person, you want to make them happy. They put demands on you, and you have to determine, okay, is it worth ruining or getting out of this relationship? My answer is yes, it is actually. Because like the last caller said, if you start dealing with demands that are unfounded, unfair, and unreasonable, it will just get worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now I'm in a relationship. I'm married to my present wife, Shauna. We've been together 5 years. We have a great relationship because there are no limitations as long as we are honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like she, you know, she lived in Florida for several years. She met a couple of guys that were models, she met athletes, models, everybody. And she has, you know, a normal relationship, friendship with these guys. And I don't put those limitations on her because we trust each other.
And I imagine, Lorenzo, I imagine it's so tough for you because you only associate with former Playboy models. So your wife has got to really be open-minded for you and your friends.
No. Shia is the coolest, absolutely the coolest. But, you know, it's about trust. It's about not checking up on each other, whether it's Facebook or cell phones. I mean, we don't do that because, A, we trust each other, and B, we've never given each other a reason to check up on each other.
And Shauna lets you be friends with your exes, right? Right, Lo?
Well, yeah. I mean, Shauna and my ex-wife, Kathleen, are friends. I mean, it's like we will go to an event, and we'll just happen to be there together, and they end up hanging out, and I'm like the third wheel, you know? It's like,
all right, you know? You're better than we are, Lorenzo.
That's another reason it's good to be Lorenzo Lamas.
Seriously.
No, but it's about, as far as my personal experience, if you're in a relationship where that person is putting limitations on you, she's checking up on you, or he's checking up on you, it's just going to get worse, man.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like trouble. Earn the trust and then don't violate it, and then everybody can just be adult and be friends with whoever they want. That makes a lot of sense.
Just be grown-ups about everything. You know?
All right, Lorenzo, great advice, my friend. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate you listening.
Great talking to you guys.
See you.
Next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll talk about one of our favorite shows, Drunk History, which returns for season 2 on Comedy Central next Tuesday night. Derek Waters and Jeremy Connor will be in studio with us. Very excited about that. And don't forget, just after the top of the hour, we'll give you a chance to qualify for the festival in Las Vegas that is known as the Life is Beautiful. That's Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, Fitz and the Tantrums, Kanye West, Broken Bells, Outkast, so much more. 9:10 every morning this week, we hook you up here on K-Rock. All right, Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Stinks to be Stings, kid.
Why is that?
Because, first of all, your dad has one name, which is just weird.
Yeah, but seems like it'd be a cool life.
The second of all...
And he's always talking about all that tantric sex he's having with your mom,
he's
too.
He's always saving trees.
No one hears about that.
Yeah. he has told his 3 sons and 3 daughters... Did you know they have 6 kids, him and Trudy?
No.
Wow.
3 sons and 3 daughters. He has told them that they won't be getting any of his money.
Not a dime?
Well, they won't be getting the huge inheritance that they would be expecting, because he is worth more than $300 million. He told the Daily Mail newspaper in an interview, he broke the news to them and told them he plans on spending most of his fortune with his wife, Trudy.
That sucks.
And they will not be inheriting a bunch of cash when it's all over. He says he doesn't want them to be trust fund kids. They're going to have to work to make it on their own. He says it didn't bother them because all of his children have a strong work ethic and none of them are expecting any handouts. Yeah, right! It's easy to have a work ethic when your dad's staying and there's $3 million around the house.
Yeah. Look, they may not be begging for it, Sting. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking, I got a little something coming my way at some point.
Well,
right?
and what he's saying is, I think they might have $1 million to bat around, but not much more than that.
You can't live on $1 million.
Right. But it's a nice cushion.
But I want all of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, Bill Gates, who, you know, the richest man in the world, he's given away 90% of his money before he dies. You
right.
Know?
I mean, that's the thing's going to give it to some freaking Amazon in rainforest or something, and then I got to work at Arby's. Thanks, right. Dad. Thanks, Gordon. I would just call him Gordon just to piss him off.
You know, a lot of people who have inherited a great deal of money have still gone on to have productive and happy lives. It doesn't automatically mean your life is doomed because you get, you know, somebody gives you $20 million when you turn 21.
Look, these kids are never going to be poor.
Why do you hate these children, Lisa?
They'll be
Why
fine.
Do you hate them?
Because I do think a lot of people that are handed a ton of money turn out terribly.
I think a lot of them don't, though. I think it has to do with how you're raised.
I think I would, if this thing was my debt, I would kill him and my wife and his wife before they had a chance to spend my money. And then
you're
I would just inherit
the kind
it.
Of person I'm talking
and
about.
And I would just inherit
you're
it.
You're the problem.
He made the mistake of telling me he was going to spend it all before he died.
That's right. It's on him now.
I don't think so. I don't think you're going to have time. Boom! Thank you. Check, please.
Say hello to Roxanne.
That's right. I'm sorry. I don't know. Is Roxanne dead? I don't understand.
I'm not sure I understood
confusing
it.
Confusing me. Congratulations to Kristen Bell. She and her husband, Dax Shepard, are going to have another baby. They already have a year-and-a-half-year-old toddler, and they were married in October of last year, so they're getting to it. They're getting busy.
Yeah.
And Reed Scott from Veep just got married over the weekend, married his longtime girlfriend as well. I'm happy for him. He seems like a good dude, and they seem like a lovely couple, so congratulations. You remember Whitey Bulger, the guy they picked
yes.
up down there in Santa Monica, California?
Fascinating story. They're making the movie about him with Johnny Depp right now.
They are indeed. And if you would like a little piece of that history, they're now renting his apartment out, the two-bedroom apartment that he was living in when he got popped from the FBI.
Nice.
So if you want to live in a little piece of organized crime history, $3,000 a month for rent on that place.
That sounds pretty reasonable for a nice area of Santa Monica.
It was a two-bedroom apartment. $3,000 a month for two bedrooms? I haven't rented in a long time. Is that reasonable?
It might be, yeah.
I think that sounds about right. Or I mean, it seems like a good deal if it's a real nice place, and I assume Whitey was living in a nice place.
Yeah, probably. Plus, I'm thinking it's probably a lot of guns and money hidden in the floorboards and stuff and everything. So I would
and
rent
FBI
it.
Wiretaps.
I would rent it to start tearing the place apart. Seemed like I could find some money. Then I put a hit out on Sting.
Ralph, are you? I know a lot of people are people who want to go to where things happened or people lived. Have you? Would you ever like buy a house or stay in a hotel room because of someone who had previously been there?
No, I am not a sightseer. I don't like any of that stuff.
Okay,
I have no interest. I like owning stuff. I like owning. You know, as a collector, I like owning props and things that were used. You know.
Right.
In productions and things that I like, but I have no interest in going to the scene of a crime or any of that kind of stuff.
You know, I just think about those people who, you know, we've done the story about the people who wanted to rent out the Beverly Hills Hotel suite where Whitney Houston died and
right.
things like that. Sometimes people just want to be in the spot where things happen.
Remember that Michael Cudlitz movie, The Dark Tourist?
Yes.
Where that guy on vacation
yes,
would go to
right.
all the scenes of the mass murderers and stuff.
That's
and
right,
everything.
Yeah.
Like you.
How dare
you're,
you?
You're one of those freaks. You like going places where weird things have happened and stuff.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Do
yes, you
it.
Do.
I guess I've done a little bit of
yeah,
that. But I'm not
have.
The guy who checks into the hotel room where the thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not that guy.
Have you been to famous grave sites?
That I've done a lot, yeah.
See? What the F? I have never gone to a famous grave site in my life.
Really?
Why even would if you? It, what, e- what is
even
there?
If even if it's somebody that you super admire, like... The first time I went to Graceland as a teenager, I thought, this is the closest I'll ever be to Elvis mother effing Presley. He is 8 feet away from me right now. And it was kind of cool. It really, I mean, you know, I was a huge fan, and I was
you
that
love
close
death.
To Elvis.
You love Elvis death. And you love death. That was the perfect combination.
But there's no grave you would be interested in going to see.
No.
Like I saw Jim Morrison's. In Paris. That was kind of cool. It was a cool...
Why?
It's
He's not
know,
there anymore, you know. Jim's not there. He's not going to pop up
people
there.
People put stuff up.
Come on, baby, light my fire. He's not going to do that. He's dead. He's just
bones.
It's
a cool cemetery, too. It's
Did you
really
go see
cool
Edith Piaf in the same grave right there? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Listen, the Ghoulie twins, why don't you just go and have a conversation separate from me?
It's what you do.
No, it isn't. It's not what I do.
Lots of people do.
It's just graves. It's weird. Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Jeff Beck is 70 years old today. Actor Peter Weller is 67. Kurt Smith, singer-songwriter, 53 years old. Rich Eisen, sportscaster for the NFL Network, is 45. Football's right around the corner.
Yep.
Starting OTAs as we speak. Very exciting. Petra Nemkova is 35. Mindy Kaling is also 35. Minka Kelly is 34. And Solange Knowles celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It says right here, time to crack open the history books because America's favorite inebriated storytellers are returning for a second season. 10 episodes of the hit Comedy Central series Drunk History begins on Tuesday, July 1st at 10 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, Derek and Jeremy from Drunk History are back.
Oh, you guys are so nice.
We're big fans.
Our third time back. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I think you're right. I think we had you before the thing even debuted and then during the first season, and then here you are again ahead of the second season.
Yeah.
And Drunk History is it's a thing that people like.
I hope. It seems like it. They keep buying it or giving us some money for it.
Now, I hate to think that there are people listening who have never seen Drunk History on Comedy Central.
I'm on the same page with you.
The premise is as simple as the title. It's people telling historical stories while drunk. Can you just go back for folks who are listening to you for the first time to the genesis of the idea?
Sure. Derek was talking to Jake Johnson, our good friend who's now on The New Girl.
Nick from The New Girl.
Uh-huh.
Adorkable. he was telling me a very drunk story of how he was trying to convince me that Otis Redding knew he was going to die when he went on the airplane that unfortunately crashed. And he was trying so hard, and he was so passionate about this story. And I just knew it wasn't true, but I just, as a nice, half-intoxicated friend as I am, I just kept nodding, going, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I kept picturing Otis Redding, you know, having to come back to life and reenacting the story and looking at the camera like, come on, man, this didn't happen.
So beautiful.
But people always get drunk and talk about music, but what's something people don't talk about are things of importance. So we combined that joke with something that is important, which is history. So our first one was Alexander Hamilton, played by Michael Cera, and Jake Johnson played Aaron Burr, and told by Mark Gagliardi, who is making his fourth comeback this season.
Yeah, he'll be on it.
The most amazing thing to me is I assume the stories are largely historically accurate, right?
Yes. The dialogue isn't, but the facts are. And, and then they're reenacted by actors. I should have explained it better. Sorry.
And that's what what's remarkable is the reenactments. I mean, to see actual actors that you know and love basically lip-syncing along to crazy drunk people is what makes it funny every single week.
And they do such a good job of it. It's so impressive. Like the burping in the middle. It's amazing.
Yeah. We got really lucky. We have Weird Al playing Hitler this year. We're that lucky.
I am deeply offended by that.
You
so
are?
You know. Well, because
well,
of
it's parody.
Great love for Weird Al.
Yeah, but he does parody.
That's
so
amazing.
He certainly does. He's the best looking Hitler ever, I'll tell you that. But some of this stuff, I mean, look, I'm no history expert, but I love history. I read a lot of history. Mm-hmm. You guys uncover stuff, I mean, that's legitimately super interesting that are important things that happen that I never even heard about. I feel like, as fun as Drunk History is, I feel like there's an actual research department behind this show.
There is. There's an actual research department behind the show. We hired a couple researchers, and we have our producer, Seth, who does a ton of it, and we've been really good about fact-checking, and all of a sudden we have a little bit of a responsibility that we sort of didn't expect to have, but now we...
Yeah, these kids, they're, you know, at UCLA studying to be history majors, mm-hmm. and this is like a dream job where we would, like, give them a book of Montgomery and say, fine...
Talk about Montgomery, Alabama, which is where the season premiere episode kicks off on Tuesday.
Right. Well, we would just give them a book and say, can you find 8 stories that you wish you would have been taught in school? And that's kind of our goal, is why weren't we taught certain stories in school? What was hidden? And so it's not like we're trying to change the world. It's just like, well, let's make a comedy show, but also like...
We could actually learn something.
Yeah. It's legitimately fascinating. So the drunk people that are telling you the stories, like, for instance, you mentioned the Montgomery episode, like the chemist, Percy Julian, who's played by Jordan Peele hilariously on your episode. How do they know so much about him? I mean, are they just briefed and then they just try to remember it and regurgitate it back to you?
You know, the dream scenario that has happened many times is that this is already the story that they love to tell when they're drunk. They know everything about it. When you see them at a party, they're like...
And that's why you go to a place like Montgomery, because you want people who are seriously into Alabama history, right?
That would be... That's the dream.
Uh-huh. Do you ask people legitimate, like, just, is there something that you love about history or a story you know that you want to tell?
This year, we actually had job interviews because we wanted some new faces. And it was, you know, 90% of the narrators we already know. But we have new faces this year that you just try to find out what their passion is, because that's what I've always found works in the show, of what makes a you want to root for these narrators. You want them to tell the story, and they are dying to tell you. But no matter what, whenever we're finished filming, I always get an apologetic email the next day. I'm sorry. I didn't tell a story. Yes, you did. This is why alcohol is a poison. You did a good job.
Who is your narrator? Because I have a clip I want to play to demonstrate the awesomeness of drug history. Who's your narrator for the Percy Julian story in Montgomery?
This is Alan McLeod, who is famous for last year he told... which one, Jeremy?
He told the Booth Brothers, and then a year before that, he actually did our Christmas special.
Nice. All right, here's a little bit of this, hearing the story of the not-so-famous chemist, but should be Percy Julian.
So that meant he was growing up as a kid in Jim Crow segregation land. Even though it was a huge obstacle, he was able to escape into plants. Sounds so dumb when I say it.
Sounds great.
And then he goes to Europe for further training and writes back some letters home that will surprise you.
He writes home and he says, this place is amazing. And I'm kind of a badass here. Like, ladies like me. That's all I'm going to say. I'll say a little bit more. I've had sex with some people here and they weren't all racially racist and stuff. I don't want to get into too much detail. I've many women.
Derek Waters and Jeremy Conner here from Drug History. We're talking about it returning on Tuesday night on Comedy Central. So you've become medical experts to a certain extent because you have to figure out a way to walk that fine line between drunk enough to make it funny, not too drunk to make it impossible.
Right, and also the drunk of like I'm the funniest person alive. And I'm not going to tell a story. I'm just going to have fun. You can't have that. You got to find the fine line of being drunk, smart, and passionate about, I have to get this story out.
We'll be there sometimes 4 or 5 hours filming.
Sometimes.
Most of the time.
Yeah. That's like a normal shoot.
Yeah. We had Jetty Slate was in here last week talking about her awesome new film. And she was talking about doing your show and really having very little memory of it except waking up naked. That was the extent of her memory of that day.
Let's note that she's married, and she was fine. I know that she
threw up, didn't she?
Not while we were there, but in her
later
email of apologizing, it did mention barfing.
Yeah,
nothing to apologize for, Jetty.
She didn't say anything about being naked, though.
But it was at home.
That was the first that we heard about.
Right.
Well, so many great guest stars for season 2. We got to take a quick break and talk about it. Drunk History returns Tuesday night at 10 on Comedy Central. If you're a Kevin and Bean fan, this is a must-see show. I promise you, it's right up your alley. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about one of our favorite shows returning July 1st on Comedy Central. It's Drunk History. Derek Waters and Jeremy Conner, creators of the show, in studio with us right now. It has to blow your mind as you look at what's ahead for season 2, the people that you have on as reenactors. I mean, it's just, it's a dream cast, your friends that you have been able to talk and getting out of this show, right?
We've been very blessed. I don't know how else to explain it, except I guess, you know, people like it, you know, and they get paid very little money to work 12 hours and lip sync the whole time. Someone that we had that we didn't have last year was Johnny Knoxville, who actually did it twice. And being a huge fan of him, I wasn't sure what we were going to get. But in my memory of everyone that we've worked with, I've never seen anyone commit as much as he committed and, like, memorized everything. And
Who does Knoxville play on
this show? He plays Johnny Cash in an American Music episode, and he also plays Preston Brooks, a racist that comes up from the South to in the Canaan of Charles Sumner is played by Patton Oswalt. So we reversed it. Knoxville beat somebody up.
But I guess, I mean, the thing about Johnny Knoxville is, you know, you don't get to be the jackass guy without being fully committed to the bit. I mean, that's what he's about, is he just digs in deep and just does what needs to be done.
He's a pro. It's crazy. Like, you realize how much commitment he has to everything he does. He goes 110% for it. It was wild.
And he's like, make sure you tell the wardrobe lady not to bring any shoes, because I got Johnny Cash's shoes. And it's a shame they don't have any knives in the store, because I got one of them, too.
Yeah. He had Johnny Cash's knife and his boots.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, we also have John Lithgow, not to name drop, Harry and the Hendersons. You know?
Yeah, Harry the Hendersons is what he's best known for, perhaps, right?
I said to him, the only thing I'm mad... Yeah, that's what he's known for. I said, the only thing that I'm mad at you about is punching Harry and Harry and the Hendersons. And he looked at me and he's like, oh, you must have been such a young child when that happened. I'm so sorry.
It just has to be so weird to be doing this dumb little show and have John Lithgow be on.
Please stress dumb. And
so dumb.
I mean that. We know we are doing a dumb show that we're taking very seriously.
Now, Derek, you drink on the show often as well.
That is, well, when we're doing the interviews, yes.
When you're doing the interviews, you drink. Did I see you end up in a bathtub naked with one of your
yes, one of your people? Yes, you did. Yeah, your eyes are working. Yeah, that happened.
Are you drunk now?
No, I was born with a I wasn't born with a drunk voice. I got a drunk voice at around 12 or 13.
That must have been great in school.
It was, yeah. Well, people just have always thought I'm drunk.
Stoned.
Or
something.
Stoned. My eyes are a little slanted.
So when you guys go into meetings with the suits, I imagine, Jeremy, you do most of the talking. Because you want them to take you seriously to a certain extent.
I do some of the talking, but Derek is now what people, they're used to this voice. It's a good voice.
It's soothing. Thank you very much.
All right, before we go, one more push for Tuesday night, because I saw this episode about Montgomery, Alabama. And Claudette Colvin, not to get all serious on us here, but Claudette Colvin is a name that nobody knows, but she was Rosa Parks before there was a Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm. That story is one of the main reasons why we're very lucky to do a show like this. And she's still alive. She did what Rosa Parks did months before, but she was 15 years old. She was pregnant and darker skin, and the NAACP thought that Rosa Parks would be a better role model, a better image for people to look up to. So our story isn't forget about Rosa Parks. It's like, no, God bless Rosa Parks, but let's remember where this idea came from, the heart of a 15-year-old, and that no matter how old you are, we all have a voice.
It's just amazing. You know how you see in movies where they cast somebody. That's what they did, is basically they said, look, we need a face of the civil rights movement. And as you pointed out, Derek, this girl is too young and too dark to capture the imagination of white people. So let's find somebody who looks like them, somebody who's lighter skin and middle class and well spoken. And that's Rosa Parks. So let's send her out there and have her be the person.
And unfortunately, that was a good idea.
Yeah, and exactly. It worked.
No, it worked. It was for great. Yeah. Rosa Parks was the secretary of the NAACP. It was very calculated, and in a good way. I mean, she wasn't just some old lady you know, this was a planned boycott and a great thing that happened.
But I can't get over that I am now learning from Comedy Central. That is the opposite of what's supposed to happen when I tune into that channel.
Tosh doesn't teach you anything?
I'm supposed to tune into that channel and see Tracy Morgan getting people pregnant. That's what's supposed to happen on Comedy Central. Now you got me thinking about Black history. What's happening, you guys? All right, we're out of time.
God bless you guys.
10 episodes. It starts on Tuesday.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Our pleasure. Always a thrill. Thanks. What happened to Kevin? Don't come in and ask a question like that and not tell us, Ralph. What happened to Kevin?
I can't tell you.
What do you mean? You can't come in and say, did you hear about Kevin?
I can't tell you.
We have a death pool. We need to know what's going on.
He's not dead. I'll tell you that much.
Is he still in Brazil?
But there's a quintessential Kevin story that I was just told that I don't think I can share because I think we're going to wait till he gets back to talk about it.
Has he been arrested?
I am not telling you anything. What part of that do you not understand?
By the way, Ralph is here for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin DeBean show. I had a great idea, Ralph. We were saying goodbye to the Drunk History guys.
Yes.
And I love that show.
Yes.
But I don't drink. But I said, guys, if you ever want to do a Pluto episode, if you ever want to do a little Drunk History on Clyde Tombaugh, the great American who discovered the planet Pluto, I will be willing to get as drunk as you need me to get to be your narrator for that show.
What?
Yes.
But he offered.
I offered.
How amazing would that be?
Would that be the best? Because I don't drink at all.
I will pay them all the money. I will pay for the budget for that episode. I will pick up the production cost for that episode.
I said, look, I'm in no rush to drink. I don't drink. I don't care about drinking. But that's how passionate I am about American hero Clyde Tombaugh. And if you do that episode, keep me in mind. And they said they would. So we'll see if anything comes of that.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
It'd be fun, right?
The greatest thing ever. Yeah, yes.
I think so, too.
Yes.
So, Drunk History, Tuesday night at 10 on Comedy Central. Great guys. Always fun catching up with them. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here we go.
Forget the Showbiz Beat. I got free stuff to give away.
Wow!
What's going on? I'm going to have some fun.
Hot fudge, holy moly. I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Tammy.
Yeah!
Tammy!
I think you're thinking of I think that was Timmy.
Oh. Tammy. Nope.
That is Tammy, but
that's Tammy's in love.
That's also unrelated.
Oh. It is.
Ta-da!
Tammy! It is the world premiere of Tammy starring Melissa McCarthy, Susan Sarandon, Dan Aykroyd. Boy, does this look funny. It all happens at the TCL Chinese Theater, formerly Grumman's Chinese Theater, formerly Man's Chinese Theater, down there in Hollywood, June the 30th. It's the red carpet world premiere. You get to see everybody. You get to see the stars walk the walkway there, and Beer Mug will be there saying, Liz McCarthy! Liz McCarthy! Liz McCarthy! Liz McCarthy! Liz McCarthy! We're doing that a lot. And you get to see the movie as well. The movie's in theaters everywhere on July the 2nd. But you, my friends, will see it all before it happens. Five pairs of tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers to get through. Get tickets to the passes to the premiere of Tammy.
Are you filming Drunk History right now?
I am also. I just have a drunk voice. That's all.
I believe
voice.
Derek, by the way, because he was not drinking this
believed,
morning.
I also believed as well.
You people don't know this guy, but I did, and it's sad news. There was a comedy team back in the day. You know, back in the day when comedy teams were a thing, when you had Martin and Lewis and Rowan and Martin. There was a comedy team called Allen and Rossi, who were very popular. They did the Ed Sullivan Show a ton of times, like 40 appearances on that show. Best known probably for being on the same episode where the Beatles appeared for the first time. But they worked in Vegas all the time. That's how I knew them. They were constantly playing in Vegas. In fact, at one time, there was a casino called Vegas World Hotel and Casino. And they had a lifetime contract there. Which I don't think means what they think it means, because then they were fired.
Was it their lifetime or the hotel's lifetime?
It was the hotel's lifetime, actually. It's not the stratosphere. But Steve Rossi, the straight man for Marty Allen in the comedy team, passed away this week at the age of 82. His partner, Marty Allen, is still kicking at 92 years old.
Wow.
But the reason I bring it up is because I love this story. They opened for Frank Sinatra at one time, and they went to see Sinatra, And Steve Ross, he said, Frank, we're very nervous. Can you give us some advice? And Sinatra said, yeah, kid. First, do the best you can. Second, give them all you got. Third, and most important, remember, they didn't come to see you in the first place.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Great advice, right?
Yeah.
Good old Sinatra. So, yeah, he's passed away. Jessica Alba has one important lesson that she teaches her daughters, Honor and Haven. She tells Us Weekly magazine that she always wants her girls to feel beautiful, so she tells them constantly how beautiful they are. That's horrible parenting.
I thought that was the opposite of her whole thing, which is don't judge me on my looks. I have a brain and I run a business and I don't care about how I look.
No, she said she got confidence from her mom telling her that her whole life. So
well, she was beautiful.
That's right. I'm sure these girls are too. But I'm thinking, how about throwing in your smart there too once in a
right.
while? Maybe maybe they won't grow up to be models and actresses. They may need to do something with math or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe throw in you're really clever occasionally. So, you know, in case, you know, they get a pimple or something, they don't get despondent.
Yeah, it's a bad deal to get hung up on just your looks, that's yeah. for sure, to make that your thing.
And constant praise for looks. It's been proven that, you know, it makes especially women self-conscious about their looks and stuff. And should anything go wrong, you know, they have a bad hair day, then right. their self-confidence comes crashing
well,
down.
Well, and people do age. It just is going to happen. Yeah.
And those people should not leave the house, by the way. They should not be allowed in public.
No, so. If you got a pimple, you should just stay home. Ashley Simpson, another bad parent, says when she plays video games with her son Bronx, he yells at her, screaming, Mom, you don't know what you're doing.
It's probably true.
It probably is, but don't let your kid get away
no.
with that. If your kid disrespects you at 5, what's going to happen at 15?
Right.
Do I have to raise everybody's kids?
You're the only one who's doing it right,
Ralph. Thank you, Bean. At least you recognize that fact. And I told you yesterday that Justin Bieber was back in Selena Gomez's good graces. They were enjoying some Bible study classes together. Where they were,
I'm sure that's not just a photo op.
While they were molesting each other during the Bible study class. Apparently, they also hit up a date at the L.A. Zoo for a double date with his grandparents. See? He's wholesome. He's doing wholesome things with old people mm-hmm. and Bibles and zoos.
Grade A. Douche.
He's not a horrible, scissor-predicted racist. He's a loving, zoo-going, Bible-reading grandpa humper.
He's a douche.
Does he really think we're going to fall for any of this?
No.
This calculated effort to make him seem clean again?
It's too little too late after all the racing in the streets and all the strip clubs.
And the N-words. Let's not forget the N-words.
And the abandoning the monkeys and all the other stuff he's been involved in.
Yes. It is Tuesday. That's new release day. Here's what's available. You can pick up the CD of the motion picture and Broadway musical Jersey Boys. That soundtrack is out. Once More Round the Sun by Mastodon. While One Is Less Than Two by Deadmau5. Noise vs. Beauty by Bass Nectar. DVDs. 300 Rides of an Empire with Eva Green. Man, she's pretty. Winter's Tale with Colin Farrell. Also on DVD. Rob the Mob. Starring Ray Romano and Andy Garcia. Ray Romano.
No. It's a movie. Nobody
That must have been
knows.
A moment of party.
No, it wasn't. It's a movie. Right.
I'll probably have his picture there with a something.
On the cover, yes. It's a DVD.
I can't imagine that's a thing, that movie.
Rob the Mob?
I mean.
It says it right here on my list.
How soon we forget Welcome to Mooseport.
I know. You should make more movies.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's a movie.
TV shows on DVD. The Bridge Season 1. Masters of Sex Comedy Bang Bang Season 2. Duck Dynasty Season 5. And Unforgettable Season 2. In case you forgot Season 2, you can go back and watch it again. See, because it's called Unforgettable. So you shouldn't have forgotten it, is what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthday, Solange Knowles is 28. Minka Kelly is 34 years old. Mindy Kaling's 35. Bean, you're getting a lot of static for not giving a bell to Mindy Kaling, by the way.
Oh, really? Because I've seen her.
Oh, hot fudge on the bone. Hot fudge on the bone. What's going on? Hot fudge on the
bone. I'm going to have some fun. Wow. Look, I'm a huge fan of hers. I read her book. I watch her show. She's very talented. Is she hot?
I think she's pretty.
Bellworthy?
I think she's pretty.
Even you can't sell it, Lisa. Pet tried to be all support my woman, but even you can't sell it.
She has her moments. That's about
Lisa,
all I can do.
You're making it worse, Lisa. Petra Nemkova's 35.
That we can all agree on.
She also has her moments, by the way.
Yes, she does.
Petra Nemkova. You remember when she wakes up in the morning until she goes to bed at night? Those are her moments.
Those are her moments, right.
Rich Eisen of the NFL Network is 45. Kurt Smith is 53 years old today. Actor Peter Weller, the original RoboCop, my friends, 67 years old. Guitarist Jeff Beck celebrates his 70th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And in case Ray Romano was listening, by the way, I'm a huge fan of Ray and his acting.
I love
just saying,
Rob the Mob.
Some of his movies maybe haven't been
great,
phenomenal.
Great
but
film. It's about robbing the mob.
Well, it might be about that. I'm not sure. Tomorrow, what a show we have for you. First of all, the beautiful Kat Deely is going to be joining us in studio. She is the host of So You Think You Can Dance, and I love her so much.
Forget that. What about Deadbeat on Hulu? She's great on that show.
She sure is.
Who knew she could act?
Yep. Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, has a new comic called Outcast. He'll tell us all about it tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Max Greenfield is going to be joining us in studio from Fox's The New Girl and the new film called They Came Together. Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow. Brand new Internet Roundup. And Sonia Thomas, you don't know the name, but you've seen this woman's work because she is one of the best food eaters in the world. She's at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest coming up on the 4th of July. She's one of those who eats like 100 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Yes.
And she's just a tiny little thing.
Fantastic.
Like, how do you get started in that line of work?
Beer Mug wants to challenge her. That's all I know. He says the game is on tomorrow.
I would be fine with that. So that's a lot of show, and it's all tomorrow morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock.